soon be playing PlayStation games on your PC? And legally? Sure looks like it. Of course, there's always Elite Slim PS4 if that doesn't work. We talk about this news and much more tonight on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 656 for this August the 28th of 2016. My name is Rob Roberts on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E, joining you from lovely Sacramento, California, Studio N7, with my co-hosts here in studio and all of you in our chat room around the world, live.vognetwork.com, but here in studio, by my side, as she always is and would never leave me for an extended period of time.
Not on purpose.
Is Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Bitch, I brought you cookies.
You did. Oh my gosh. She brought me cookies.
They're the best cookies I've ever put in my mouth.
And I've been thinking about, you know, maybe I should like try
except
to
maybe Becky's cookies.
I should try to lose some weight before like GamerX and Final Fantasy Fan Fest and all
these things.
That's
why I'm doing this now, so we have a month. Get it out of your system, Rob.
And then also, well, Alan has also, I don't know if you know, but he's lost quite a bit of weight and was, you know, was kind of humble bragging a little bit the other day about how he's lost weight.
I've decided I'm going to call him Alan Aska.
And why is I?
No, because of the hair.
And no listeners are going to understand. In fact, Alan probably won't even understand.
Because of the hair. It's Alaska hair.
We do, of course, tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And if you are listening live, you can join our chat room at live.vognetwork.com. And Rover Desk starting us off tonight, wanting to know, where are our cookies?
Come get them.
Actually, when you visit vognetwork.com, I think we put a cookie in your browser.
Yeah.
But it's not one of those like skeezy kinds that you read about. It's just to remember like that you're logged into the site so you can check in and get your points and all that good stuff.
Hint, hint.
Yeah.
Hint, check hint. In.
That's right. Sign up for free. We don't spam you. We just, you know, like to be able to tell potential people to come on the network and partner with, like, look at all these engaged users we have, because that does go a long way. So, all right. Say hello, of course, to Techmaster Loki.
Hi.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm okay.
Are you – now, is that Slurpee your dinner? Because usually you bring dinner to the show with you because, you know, we're right about dinner time. But tonight you just brought a Slurpee.
Yeah, because I made food like – I had lunch at like 4, so
– oh. I thought maybe you were on the Slurpee diet, and I was like, that's my kind of diet.
Slurpee diet? Yeah. That's not a bad idea. I don't think I'd lose any weight from that, but very unhealthy.
It would sure be fun trying.
It's like, fast track to diabetes. Yeah.
I know, right? Oh, my gosh. So anyhow, here we are assembled in studio, and as I referenced a minute ago, Dark Soccer is actually going to be taking a hiatus in the show. She doesn't want to, but you know, some things are more important than OLR, including jobs that pay bills. So Dark Soccer is going to be taking some time off for about a couple months.
But I'm going to do my best to get, you know, some Sundays off when I can.
And I told her she needs 20 November off.
Well, of course.
Because that is like a DDR holiday. And if we stay on track, that's going to line up with episode 666 of our show, which is going to be hilarious.
Well, and the one thing is that I've already requested like pretty much the rest of my time off until the end of September for Gamer X.
Right, right.
So it's going to be really difficult for me to take time. Apparently, Alan says I was offered my own podcast on TBS and I'm going rogue.
And I think that's a reference to Samantha Bee when she, you know, she kind of went off to do her own thing and she's kind of doing better than the people she left behind at Comedy Central with all respect to Trevor Noah and all that. Samantha Bee's kind of on fire.
Well, there are podcasts in the planning, but I would never do anything that wouldn't be Vogue material.
I do like 4 podcasts.
I want to do another one.
One of the podcasts isn't even on Vogue. Like,
I want to do another one because I think that you guys need more of me.
Well, we can.
Speaking of more of me, I'm having more cookies.
All right.
you want any?
You go ahead. You get those cookies. Go for it. We are, of course, saying a temporary hiatus to Dark Sakura. I do want to mention, since we brought up conventions, there may be some folks checking out this show for the first time because of Dragon Con, which we're going to be at. Well, I'm going to be at next week in Atlanta. Of course, I think this is the 30th year of Dragon Con. It's a very long-running convention. They get tons and tons. I try to describe it to people as like Comic-Con of the South, but without the Hollywood. Like, it's like pretty much all fan-driven. And my understanding more and more, especially as I talk to more cosplayers, is that it's really becoming known as like a cosplay, like bring your A-game of cosplay to Dragon Con, and lots of great stuff comes out of that. In fact, I did my first and only cosplay at Dragon Con last year, which sadly I'm not bringing back this year, but... It was fun last year. So we have that and some folks. We will be you can catch me as a presenter at the Parsec Awards on Sunday night, where actually we have our pal at Pod Culture. Pals at Pod Culture are nominated for their spinoff show, TARDIS Interruptus. They are actually nominated this year, so that's very exciting. But we're presenting a different award, obviously, Conflict of Interest. We're presenting a different award at the show, so that's really cool that we're involved there. Our pals at Critical Myth and British Invaders are all over the TV-related tracks. Brit Track, of course, for British Invaders, and some of the television-related tracks for Critical Myth. They have some panels. We're going to be compiling all that over at VogNetwork.com in this coming week. So you guys know where to catch us at Dragon Con. That's very exciting. And then we will also be, Dark Soccer and myself will be at Gamer X4, which I'm now hearing is supposed to be the last one, I guess. I feel like they say that every year. They say that every year it's going to be the last one, then suddenly there's another one. But regardless, I hope it's not, but regardless, we have fun every year we go, so we're going to be there again this year. And we will, in fact, we just wrote the check this past week. We will have a table once again. Where you can come say hello to us there at the festival.
And possibly get condoms.
And I mean, yes, that's a whole nother side story. Dark Soccer got a donation for Gamer X. You know what they gave her?
Condoms.
A big box of condoms. Condoms, Rose. Condoms. Condoms. Condoms.
Yes.
This is why you don't go to like one of those family planning clinics for free donations.
So we'll be making balloon animals at our table over at Fox Network at GX4. And then
go fuck yourself. Here you go.
And then I will be at Final Fantasy Fan Fest, which I know is a lot more niche, but I do really enjoy Final Fantasy 14. So I made sure to get tickets to that event. So I'm excited to go to that. I know that's, and if you didn't get tickets to it, you're not going to, because it sold out a long time ago. But there is MAGFest, if you want to look forward to 2017. So I have a lot of cons coming up in the next few months. It's like I've had a con drought, and now I'm going to be fucking sick of conventions by the time MAGFest is over, although that's not going to be true. I love MAGFest, so I'm just very excited for the coming months. So I look forward to seeing y'all. Anyhow, we need to get into some gaming talk. I want to talk about our gaming weeks as well as what's going on in the gaming news, but we like to usually start off with a kickoff topic, something to kind of get us started here with what's going on. So, Loki, you've got a report here. Could you tell us about this here, about what's going on with PlayStation Plus? Obviously, this is getting a lot of social media buzz this week.
So PlayStation Plus, they've decided to bring it to the PC. So along with bringing the service there, they're also bringing this USB controller adapter, so you don't have to be wired into the PC with it, which is nice, I guess.
Yeah.
But does this mean we're not getting backwards compatibility for the PlayStation games? Because they're like, but PlayStation Now! Yeah? You want to sign up for it still? Because I don't want to sign up for it still. I don't fucking give a crap about it on the PlayStation, let alone on PC. Ooh, I can play the classic games. Well, I'd rather just have the games I bought already work on it.
I wonder how that service is doing. I wonder if the numbers are not where Sony was hoping for them to be, which might be part of the reason why they're putting it on PC. But, I mean, at the end of the day, even if PlayStation Now is doing very, very well, I mean, why not expand your audience? Hell, it works for Netflix, right? Why is Netflix so popular? Probably because it's on every single stinking device that's out there.
I think it'd be cooler if it was on, like, smart TVs or something like that.
Yeah. I think it'd be neat if it was on Xbox One.
So, since I never used the PlayStation Now service...
Uh-huh.
Is that the ones, like, for just the old PlayStation games, or...?
Well, by old, we mean PlayStation 3.
You know, if it is, it's a PC app, and if they developed it for the Windows Store, which I really don't think they'd ever get past them, it could be a universal app, which they could be playable on the PlayStation, Xbox One.
I'd be interested if they've had the Vita stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, because I'm thinking, like, you know, one thing that Sony did try to do is that they have the Vita TV or what...
This is the PlayStation TV in the
US. Here was the PlayStation TV in the US, right? But it was, you know, it played Vita games, which was some of them, which was a weird thing to begin with. Mm-hmm. But then it also was, hey, you can hook in PlayStation Now right into your TV, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Just because there's a few games that I think I would want to play, so...
Yeah.
You know, but I mean... We actually have our PS3 still hooked up because for some reason our PS4 doesn't like our sound system. So we've never been able to get it to work with our Blu-rays. And we've got a really good Harman Kardon system in the house. So,
yeah. I do like the fact that there's such a huge library on PlayStation Now. So I do feel like, wow, I could catch up with all these games. But in a way, I mean, one of the reasons why I haven't gone for it is that I'm worried it's almost overload. It would be like so many games. And, you know, I'm already bad when it comes to gamer ADD. It's like, you know, I play one thing for a week and then it's like, ooh, shiny, something else is out.
It's
part of the reason I'm almost happy that Final Fantasy 15 got delayed, because maybe I actually will get to the center of the universe.
What I've seen though, PlayStation Now, like, they have the library available. Like, you can see what's available on their service. It's not really anything I want to play. And I just don't see the...
It isn't everything. That's a very important point.
And I think it's stupid. Like, come on, you guys. I mean, yeah, I understand you're really trying to push the service because you can see money being made on it. But no one wants it. No one wants that service. They just want you to do backwards compatibility for the PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2. Now, granted, I understand the PlayStation 2 might be a little bit more difficult to do, but come on, the PSP plays PlayStation 1 games. You can't tell me that the PlayStation 4, this powerhouse of, like, a PC, can't possibly emulate PlayStation 1 games when, like, a really shitty cell phone can emulate PlayStation 1 games.
I do feel a little bit like, as a consumer or whatever, that it would be really nice if I had a PlayStation 3 disc, which I still have many PlayStation 3 games, I could put it in my PlayStation 4 and I could play that game on PlayStation Now. Like, you know, clearly that technology is available, so I just don't understand why I guess I can't do it. Maybe they're worried about piracy or something where people could fake discs that have the ID or something. Maybe that's what they're concerned about. But it just... That's why I feel like it's like double dipping.
But that's a lot of trouble just to play a PlayStation 3 game. That's a lot of trouble.
What? Oh, to make a fake game?
Yeah,
or
I mean, like...
Yeah, but hacker's going to hack Loki. It'll happen.
No one's going to do that for PlayStation Now.
You don't think so?
I don't think it's worth it.
Well, it doesn't matter because it's not a thing anyway. For whatever reason, that's not what Sony's doing. But... Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sorry, but Microsoft's kicking their ass as far as backwards compatibility support. Granted, they don't have three systems to support, but they're supporting the Xbox 360, which is, I think, pretty decent. That's better than PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 games, and I don't know. It seems pretty awesome.
It would be nice if, you know, even like as a PlayStation Plus subscriber, if I could get like one or two games on PlayStation Now.
Well, here's the rub on that too. It's like, oh yeah, we made it. We got an emulator we are able to get these PlayStation 2 games to work on, you know, the system, but you got to buy them again.
You got to rebuy them again.
It's like, what the hell? Yeah. I mean, it's just greed.
Let's get to some comments from our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Raginator in chat says, Sky, it sounds like PlayStation Now on the PC might be good for those like me who no longer have a Sony system for whatever reason. Sure. I mean, yeah, there's people out there that don't have a Sony system. Kind of interesting, because that makes me think, okay, well, maybe there's people out there that decided to go Microsoft only. They're an Xbox household, and they decided not to go with Sony, that Xbox One was what they wanted, and so that's what they have, and they're not getting both systems. What's interesting is that if Sony has PlayStation Now on the PC, it's interesting how, like, Microsoft and the PC, due to Windows 10, how those are so tied together. So it's almost interesting how Sony kind of fits into that dynamic now, is that, well, I guess in a way you don't need a PlayStation... Well, you don't need a PlayStation 3, but you need, you know, you still need a PlayStation 4 to play those games, but you wouldn't necessarily need a PlayStation 3 unless, well, the games you want to play aren't included in PlayStation Now, which is also a distinct possibility.
And let's also talk about the other, you know, thing about PlayStation Now is the cost. It's $20 a month. Or, oh, I'm sorry, $45 for 3 months if you want to do it that way. That's fucking expensive. Especially when you have like Netflix and stuff that's like $8. And isn't like brand new games either.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't know where the right price is, because then I'm thinking, well, Loki, a new game costs $60, you know, and I know these are not new games, but many of them were $60 when they came out. So in that regard, I'm kind of like, actually, the price doesn't seem awful, but maybe if there was just a few more of the big, big, big titles in there, or heck, maybe if they started doing some of the PlayStation 4 stuff, because I would imagine it's capable of doing PlayStation 4 stuff as well with the whole streaming thing. Maybe it would make the pot a little sweeter. I don't know. So let's see. More comments over in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Raginator says maybe the PlayStation 4 can't do PlayStation 1 games due to the differences in chipsets. Yeah, but if it can do PlayStation 2 games at this point, they've figured it out. If it can do PlayStation 2, it can do PlayStation 1.
It's not even chips anymore. It's, you know, it's not running off of native hardware. It's running off of an emulator. Come on. I mean, the PlayStation Portable was not native hardware either, but that was able to run PlayStation 1 games. What is the deal here? I don't understand.
And then SSG100 Matt points out in chat, they have those humble PlayStation bundles this week with PlayStation 3 games. That's a really good point. You know, I haven't really looked into this week's bundle, but would I necessarily want to get that because my PlayStation 3 isn't really hooked up anymore? And
no, there's some PlayStation
4
games
I might still
in
do
there.
It for charity, but, you know.
Well, and also, it's Capcom, and there's some PlayStation 4 games in there as well.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, so there's a handful of those.
But wouldn't it be nice is if I bought something like that, then the stuff that is on PlayStation 3 is enabled in PlayStation Now, and I can go play those things. Because that's the way it works on Microsoft's side, essentially. I mean, it doesn't stream on Microsoft's side, but the nice thing about my Xbox One is that every other week, I have this little present in my games inventory
exactly.
of something I played on Xbox 360. Because
you invested all that money, yeah. and they're keeping it with you, but now you have these other, you know, companies,
yeah.
Nintendo, mm-hmm. PlayStation. Oh, and you know, PlayStation, you really, it's kind of surprising because they've been so good about this whole cross-buy thing for, like, the longest time now, and now they're kind of going back on it. Well, yeah, these are different because they're on PlayStation 4 now, and you have to rebuy these PlayStation 2 games. I just, it's stupid. It really is.
SSG100 Matt says, yeah, Microsoft got blasted for their backwards compatibility when the system was announced. Now they're doing it better than Sony right now. And I would agree. Microsoft is essentially kind of a model for backwards compatibility. Now, it would have been nicer if this was there when the system launched and if maybe it was more games at a time, you know, especially if it had been like a good, big, large chunk of them all at once in the beginning. But you can't alter the past, so I feel like
at least they're working on it.
At least they're working on it.
Versus Sony, who's just radio silence.
Yeah, yeah. Or once you just subscribe for this thing for $20 a month. So yeah, I think I really think Sony ought to think about maybe at least if they're hurting for PlayStation Now or whatever, let people play at least the stuff they bought digitally on PlayStation 3, let them use PlayStation Now for that stuff on their PlayStation 4. And heck, maybe that would get the thing installed on people's computer, on their computers now with the PC or their PlayStation 4. And maybe it would make them curious to perhaps jump in and spend the $20 a month to get all the games unlocked. So just something to think about. I think if I were Sony, I would really want to give some thought to this backwards compatibility and how essentially Microsoft's doing it better right now. So. Let's see. Also in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, Kassin wants to point out the Humble Bundle has Okami HD and Strider, so it's worth looking into. Yeah, so Strider was a PlayStation Plus game at one point, though, if I'm not mistaken. So I think a lot of people already have that. But
yeah, I don't remember.
But it was still a good game. Doesn't take away from the fact that if you missed it somehow, now's a good time to get it. Let's see. Also, Raginator says, well, I can tell you this, Sky. If Super Stardust HD is on the PC version of PlayStation Now, sold. Take my money. I feel like that ought to be. That's all the Sony first and second party stuff is on there, right?
Like the PlayStation 3 things, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see why Super Stardust HD isn't in there. I mean, double check, but I think, Raginator, you might have some luck there. It ought to be in there. Is it going to be worth $20 a month, though, to play that one game? Well, of course, granted, you're going to have access to a ton of other games as well.
Well, and on top of that, it's like, okay, you know, still I don't like the fact that I have to still stream this stuff because I have bandwidth. I mean, like if my wife is watching Netflix or something, streaming a game to my PC and Netflix, thank God I don't have, bandwidth caps. It's just kind of unreasonable, I think. Just enable this to be downloaded to my PC or my PlayStation 4 and be done with it. I don't understand what the big deal is.
Fifth Dream actually linked us to a resource at good old Wikipedia that actually lists all of the PlayStation Now games.
They have it also on their own site, too.
Oh, of course they do. I'm sure they do. But isn't Wiki awfully convenient? As I think so. Let's see. And I don't see Super Stardust HD in here. Interesting. I would have assumed that was a given. Unless I'm not looking for the right name. There's a game called Stealth Bastard Deluxe. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, that's like Stardust the best name ever.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, unless the game is being a stealth bastard, it is not actually on the list. That actually kind of surprised me. Huh. All right. JD also points out Wikipedia is often better formatted than publisher websites, LOL. Yeah, it's low. It's very low bandwidth, which sometimes makes it easier. It's not so bloated as a website. Anyway, all right. Well, let's get into our gaming weeks and the types of things that we've been playing this week. And then we'll come back and cover some other news. So our gaming week, Stark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
Danganronpa 2 and Sims 4 and a little Pokemon Go. I've also started playing this game called Capitals. It's sort of like a cross between Go and Scrabble.
Not Pokemon Go, but the ancient game. Yeah, board game Go. Yeah.
Where you have to surround your enemy's base by forming words, and you encroach on their area by pushing your word barrier out closer to them.
So you take over somebody's territory through words.
Yes.
Huh. Sounds like your kind of game.
Well, it's pretty cool. I've been enjoying it, and I got to use one of the alternative spellings of yogurt. The one with the H in it, because it's in the Scrabble dictionary.
Very good. JD in chat says, I've heard about Capitals. I'm mad it's not available for Android yet. So I guess it's not...
Well, get a real system.
Oh, stop. All right. Let's see. JD.
Kidding.
JD points out the developer also made Tiny Tower a while ago. Oh, that's a Nimblebit game. Oh, okay. Yeah. That game was huge when it first came out, the Tiny Tower. And then they had the Star Wars Tower, right? And then they've done some other games that were really good, too. It has a very unique retro style to the graphics. Does this game have that, too? The retro style?
It's very simple. It doesn't really need any of that.
I see.
It's just tiles and letters, and there's really not much to it.
Okay, fair enough.
But you should play it with me.
I'll think about it.
Okay. Apparently, Neil played it for a while.
Oh, really?
But he hasn't responded to me challenging him.
Yes.
Running away.
Sometimes happens. You sign up for a game, and then it's like you see, oh, all these friends are playing. Oh, wait, they stopped playing after the first week.
Yeah, dare they? How very dare they?
That happens. All right, Loki, how was your gaming week?
So I played more No Man's Sky, and it's pretty boring.
what a glowing review!
I know. I mean, it's just I don't know. There's not really a storyline. It's just like, oh, hey, here's this place. Okay, cool. You go to this warehouse, you'll learn new technology. Okay. That's it. I mean, it's basically the same as what I'm normally doing. And seriously, fuck you, the stupid space combat thing. That thing can go fuck itself with like a spiky
Space combat.
So I just like,
part of that game.
I just say, oh, I'm going to get attacked. I'm going back to the planet.
Yeah, but then they attack you once you leave the planet.
That's why I pulse jump out of there as soon as I get out of like, fuck you, I'm out of here. You can attack me, I'm going to jump. Okay, bye.
Smart.
So, their combat is just, it's god-awful. It's seriously awful. But I ended up on, like, another planet now. I jumped another system, and it's like this rainbow jungle planet now. So,
cool.
It's kind of cool with lots of water. And then what else? Oh, I've been playing a little bit of Ingress and Pokemon Go, and then Tap My Katamari. I've stopped playing because their game froze up, so I shut it down, restart it, freezes on the restart, cleared the cache, restarted again, still freezing. So I was like, fuck, I gotta just reinstall this thing. So uninstalled it, reinstalled it, my progress is gone. I'm like, fuck you, Namco, I'm gone.
Didn't you cheat in that game anyway?
It doesn't matter.
You had it coming. You had it coming.
I did not
Karma.
Have it.
Karma sucks,
I did not
Loki.
Have it fucking coming.
Yes, it, you did.
No,
you
I
got
didn't.
Banned. You got banned. You're the first person to get banned from
I didn't
Katamari.
Get fucking banned from that stupid game. Good riddance, though.
This
it's a
second,
fucking waste
this
of time.
Is the second time in your life Katamari's given you trouble.
It's be- no, it's their stupid programming. It's because they assign an ID to your game through Google Play services or whatever, and it's on every install. They reassign you an ID instead of assigning you the same fucking ID that you had before, like every other fucking game would have. Like, oh my god, is it, you know, if Ingress or Pokemon Go or something just stops fucking working and, oh shit, I gotta reinstall the app. I load back in there, and, oh, hey, look, there's my account because I'm signed into a goddamn online service that saves my progress. But, oh, but fucking Namco Bandai, who can't fucking program shit, decides, hey, we're just going to store all that locally to this specific ID. But, oh, but when you reinstall the app, because it's going to fuck up because our shit is fucking broken anyways because their fucking ads that they have break the game when you try to run them. Oh, and then they have free candy offers that never fucking work anyways. So let's add that in there on top of all this shit. So their buggy-ass fucking game that's constantly broken and fucking reassigns a new fucking ID when I reinstall it. So you know what? That's it. That's good because I was looking for an excuse to get rid of it, and I'm done.
I don't think anyone on the entire internet has gotten as upset about Tap My Katamari issue, Loki. Congratulations.
Wait, don't mince words. Tell us how you really
just tell
feel.
Tell us how you really feel.
It's stupid. It's a stupid game. So I'm done playing it. I'm free now. It was a complete time waster.
You're
there was no point to the game whatsoever, yet for some stupid reason, I kept playing it, and I'm
it's
done.
Music.
I'm done. I'm done. I'm not going back.
You've had it officially.
I had it. Unless they want to fix that shit, then yeah, I'll go back after it's fixed, but you know.
Oh, God, I'm dying.
It was just stupid.
All right. Anything else in your gaming week?
No, that was it.
Nothing more pleasant. Nothing he had a good time with. All right. My gaming week. A few weeks ago on the show, somebody called in to talk about this. I think it was our pal Brad from Pod Culture. So I'm going to actually recommend this one to you, Loki, because, you know, it's kind of like a tap game, like one of those cookie clicker games, but it's not by Bandai Namco. So already it's okay. It's called Nonstop Night, like Night with a K. And you play this little, like, it looks like a Diablo-esque kind of game, but it doesn't play like one at all because it's a cookie clicker type of game. But instead of tapping the screen repeatedly, your little knight just endlessly runs through the dungeon slaughtering monsters. And you can use buttons to do little skills or buy different upgrades. And I don't know, there's other stuff too. But it's got that same formula of, ooh, the numbers get bigger. It's addicting. And, oh, I ascended, so I'm going to reset everything back to one. It's like the exact same fucking formula, but it's more of a like automated hack and slash type of thing.
No,
no,
I'm just not
gonna
do it anymore.
You're done?
I'm just done. It's too bad too, because it was a good time waster when like I had a few minutes and stuff and I was enjoying it. You know, granted, yeah, I exploited stuff where I could, but who cares? What's it matter? It's basically a single player game. Okay, so they have online leaderboards, but who gives a shit? That's just how long you play the stupid game.
All right. So I've been playing that a little bit, and your talk about Katamari made me think of that because it's kind of a similar-esque type of game. And I thought maybe I'm sure Brad's out there listening. Yeah, I see him in chat saying Nonstop Night would probably get a kick out of the fact that I actually did go download the game and I've been playing it. So let's see. What else have I been playing on my gaming week? I've still been playing a lot of World of Warcraft because, you know, I didn't really play the last expansion hardly. I somehow got a character up to level 98, but like I don't remember Draenor at all. So thanks to this whole thing with the Legion expansion is launching next week, right? So they've been doing these invasions in game that feel a lot like the Fates in Final Fantasy 14 to me. So it's kind of funny seeing how the MMOs are kind of feeding each other now. But through these invasion things, you can really level fast. And I've leveled a character from level 1 all the way to 95, I think I hit today. Mostly through these stupid invasion things.
What side?
Alliance. Yeah, it's with the Game Buoy guys. Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to play. I have to start on that server?
I think you already have a character. It's with the Game Boy
guys.
Oh, it's
on our normal one. Okay, no, yeah. Duh. Never mind.
Yeah, I think
you're
already there.
I've already got like a 97 on one.
There
so.
You go.
We'll have to play.
Yeah, if you play with Captain Spike and Slidekick and them, yeah, that's it.
I just took a little break from it after I did all the Draenor stuff.
Well, and so, you know, obviously I took a long break from it. And I don't know what convinced me to come back. I think just everybody saying, oh, you got to check out the Legion stuff. I was like, whatever, I'll check. And I think I hit a point in Final Fantasy 14 where I was like, I still love a lot about 14. There's so much I really enjoy about it. But, like, the deep dungeon wasn't what I thought it would be, I think, which left me a little bit disappointed. Like, it's not something I really want to grind over and over and over again. I thought, I don't know what I was expecting, but it's not what they have, isn't it? Typical gamer, right? I don't know what it's like every review of No Man's Sky. I don't know what I was expecting, but this sure ain't it.
Well, let's not be honest. I mean, No Man's Sky was, I still kind of enjoy it a little bit, but there's really not a lot there. It's like, it's just not. The guy seems like, seriously, Sean Murray seems like a fucking second coming of Peter Molyneux. It's like fucking Molyneux all over again. You watch the interviews again, you're like, oh my God, he's totally Molyneux-ing right there.
Well, I'll say this. I have been playing more No Man's Sky as well, and I do still enjoy the game, but I think the element that I enjoy about No Man's Sky probably isn't the plot. But it's more that it's the same thing that I find appealing about Minecraft. It's that very, like, zen, chill, just I'm gonna kick back on the couch and play this very low maintenance game that's all about, like, you know, in the case of No Man's Sky, it's about finding pretty things and, oh, I'm on a new planet and let's, you know, oh, there's a cave over here, what's this, or oh, there's a building over here. Like, I still just kind of get a thrill in the exploration side of things, even though when I really step back to think about, like, what's the fucking point of this game, it's really minimal.
Well, even that, though, it's like there's not really anything there because, like, in the caves, I know there's nothing going to be there in those caves. The caves are pretty much useless because there's nothing hidden inside them. All the minerals that you can find in there, you can find out on the surface, so what's the point? And even exploring the plants and stuff, it's just kind of all the outposts are the same, like, all the there's only so many, like, space Winnebagos I can walk into with the chairs tossed over exactly the same way every time. It's like, it's just very rinse and repeat. And there's not, like, any, like, ooh, this is really different than that last planet. Ooh, there's some interesting stuff going on. There's nothing interesting going on. It's just grind. And that's it. And there's not even really much to grind. And from what I've seen or heard of the ending, it's just like, fuck it. We're just not going to make one.
And going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Zeba in chat says, the story is amazing. I'm not sure if that comment's about Final Fantasy 14 or if it's about World of Warcraft. I'm assuming it's about Final Fantasy 14, and I think that is an important point, is that, you know, if you still haven't played Final Fantasy 14, you know, even though I'm talking about, oh, I'm kind of burned out on it a little bit, keep in mind, I've been playing for like 2.5 years. Like, you know, and you just kind of hit a point where you've been playing a game long. Well, actually, no, the game's coming out on his third birthday, so I guess 3 years straight. Sorry, I'm laughing because Loki's yawning. And his tongue is completely blue from that slurping.
And it's so delicious.
I can't help but laugh. Anyway, where was I? Sorry. Horrible when this is a radio show and you guys can't see it, but trust me, it's funny. Okay, so Final Fantasy 14. If you still have yet to play Final Fantasy 14, especially Heavensward, like, I realize it's gated because you have to play through all of Realm Reborn, which in itself is a good experience, but I know some people get really turned off by the mandatory dungeons. But, man, I'm telling you, the story in Heavensward is easily, like, one of the top three stories in the entirety of the Final Fantasy series. Like, it's the best. For me, it's my favorite since Final Fantasy VI. Some people would take issue that I'm not giving 7 or 10 enough credit or even 8. But for me, it's, like, seriously the best story in the series in a very long time. Heavensward is mind-blowing amazing. Just for me, the patches and the follow-up on Heavensward haven't quite been there for me, like Realm Reborn was. I'm not sure what that X factor is that's missing for me. Maybe the fact that they're only doing 2 dungeons instead of 3, so you get really burned out on the roulettes real quick. I think that might be part of it. I don't know. Anyway, let's see. Other comments in chat. At live.vognetwork.com, Fifth Dream says, I'm on a Lisa Frank planet now, talking about No Man's Sky, full of neon rainbow plants. I'm in Trapper Keeper land. That's awesome. I don't know if I'd ever leave that place. That sounds amazing. So, anyway, William Murderface asks, Sky, did you play before A Realm Reborn hit about Final Fantasy 14? Yes, I did, but not for very long because it was terrible. I actually, I played the Final Fantasy 14 1.0 alpha? No, beta. I think it was just the beta at that point. And even early on in the beta, I was worried. I was like, I don't know about this. But I ended up buying the game anyway, and I played it, and I was like, they've made some real shit decisions with this game. And yeah, 1.0 was really, really bad. I understand 1.0 got better after Naoki Yoshida took over and was planning A Realm Reborn, that 1.0 got really good towards the end, but I wasn't really around to see that. But I was there in the early days of 1.0, and I just, God, like, the maps were awful. I don't know if you remember what the Shroud used to look like. It was just, it looked like a piece of fucking graph paper. Like, that's what the maps were. It was awful. But anyway, the game's great now. Like, A Realm Reborn fixed everything. It's truly a legendary story in video games, just how turned around they made that game. It's pretty crazy. So, anyway, I guess that's really it for my gaming week. I haven't played an awful lot outside those what are becoming mainstay games, but next week should be pretty exciting with Dragon Con and all, and they've got arcades are new this year at Dragon Con. They've got two different arcades, a classic gaming one and a Tokyo Attack arcade, so they're going to have really my two favorite things are going to be there, classic gaming and Japanese gaming, so I'm pretty happy going into Dragon Con this year. I'm excited to check it out.
Well, I mean, what else is there? Because U.S. gaming, modern U.S. gaming?
U.S. gaming makes me think of like...
It's like Ticket Redemption. Okay, well, we're not doing this.
What I'd find in a Dave & Buster's, which, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Dave & Buster's. They have some good stuff, but...
Hey, you like cell phone games? Well, what if we made those cell phone games on a giant
exactly,
TV?
Exactly. Like, I can do without that shit. I don't need the cell phone games.
Hey, it's Tap My Katamari, but...
Yet another racing game, Daytona, whatever. Just kidding. I'm not really shading Daytona.
Raw thrills in cell phone games. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, no, you know, good point. Good point. I mean, what else is there? But I'm just very excited about that. So, more to come. Anyway, housekeeping. Don't have a lot for you. I think I've said a million times we're not going to be here next week. However, stay tuned to our Twitter at VOG Network for the network at VOG Network. And then also stay tuned for on our website, because instead of this show being on next Sunday, we're trying to set up like a VOG super show at Dragon Con that we're going to tape on Friday or Saturday. We're still trying to nail down all the details, but we're going to tape it one night and then broadcast it where Bobby and this show would usually be on Sunday night. So you may still have something new to listen to on Sunday, which would be really cool. But this show will not be live on the network next week because I'm out of town. And it's Labor Day, and Darkstalker and Loki probably want to make the most of the three-day weekend as well. But we will be back. You don't want to play Sims 4 for 3 days straight?
No, I don't get a weekend anymore.
Oh, yeah, your schedule. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Well,
I do have Labor Day also.
You know what you should do? Quit.
Do you know what they pay me? No.
I'm just kidding. I'm just giving you crap. Well, I hope you're able to enjoy what you can. Anyway. But we will be back in 2 weeks. And here's the great part. So when we come back, it will be September 11th, which is Loki's birthday.
Yes, it is.
So Loki's birthday show. And we're also trying to ramp up the interview thing. I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I don't remember if I did or not. But we are going to, with you know, Dark Sakura not being here is going to leave some big shoes to fill. So we're going to be trying to get some more interviews in the coming months.
Are you calling her feet big?
Well, I don't know. Is that a bad thing if I call your feet big, Dark Sakura?
Because you don't have big feet.
Like, for guys, it's a compliment when you say you have big feet, because, you know, big feet means...
Big twat.
Big shoot. I don't think you have your anatomy lessons quite correct there.
No, that's not the kind of twat I was talking about. Thank you.
Wow. That's not the delivery I was expecting, but okay. Anyway, so... How do you transition from big twat?
Because whenever easy. Well, I was gonna say there is since we're gonna go on a tangent here anyway.
Okay,
I just thought it'd be fun. Have you seen? Now I can't remember off the top of my head, and I'm gonna look up while I'm talking about it real quick. Have you seen this thing that uses like an emulator, but it's like a WarioWare type of thing? So it's a bunch of classic games and like little bits and pieces of them that you're playing all together.
No.
It's pretty awesome. Like, I saw this on Destructoid, and they had... It's basically... I don't know if it's, like, within MAME or something, but they had, like, okay, you know, whoever is in first in this level of Mario Kart, you know, after like 10 seconds gets going. And the next level is like, okay, kill this other person in like a fighting game. Okay, next one is like, you know, defeat the other person in this like puzzle game. It's like 10 seconds of things, or catch the most fish in this like Atari 2600 game.
Okay, that sounds rad, actually. Yeah. Okay, where can I get this again?
I'm looking it up right now. It's called Multibowl.
Okay, I like this.
Yeah, Multibowl. It's a two-player thing where you can compete against snippets of emulated games.
Now, it's not multitasking, though, right? Because that's a patent-pending thing from YYR, and we've talked about that before.
No, this is just old. This is emulator games. So, like, for example, they've got they have Wild Guns in there versus Excitebike, Super Mario Kart. There's some other stuff. Apparently, it's a collaboration between Bennett Foddy, who did Quap, and Alec Thompson, who did Be Glitched. And they're going to be doing as part of a couple different festivals, including XOXO Festival in Portland on September 1st, or I'm sorry, in September 9th, and some festival in Austin on the 1st.
All right, festival game. Sounds like fun. All right, before we get into other gaming news for this week, let me tell you about, so we got on a tangent when we had the Big Feet reference, but obviously Darksoccer is going to leave a space on this show that will not be easy to fill, but we're going to be inviting some guests on over the coming weeks, you know, because we were doing interviews for a while, and then we just kind of fell out of it, so I've been really trying to get some people to come back on the show. So on September 11th, Gabe from the Sacramento IGDA is going to be here, because his game Crumple is just about ready to go. So he's going to tell us a little more about that game, and we'll talk about that. Also coming up in September, Aethernaut's going to be here. Aethernaut is a chiptune musician that is going to be at GamerX 4. He was at the very first GamerX. And if you haven't heard Aethernaut's stuff, he's awesome. He kind of combines the chiptune stuff with violin. So it's really cool. So he'll be here
in
September.
And I saw, was it this week? It was at the Sacking the Arcade, not this year, but last year, Monsters and Monocles finally released.
That just came out. Yeah, I follow one of the devs on Twitter. Probably the same one you do.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So definitely go check it out if you guys
see
a chance.
Invite them on the show. Have them on. September, October. It'll be great. Yeah. All right.
I've still been trying to hear from the people that are doing the Office game.
Mm-hmm.
I've messaged them and hadn't heard anything, but I'd love for them to be on the show, even when I'm not here.
Even if you're not here.
Even if I'm not here.
I'm going to invite you to this party at somebody else's house. And by the way, not all these. Gabe will be here in person, but we'll be certainly doing a lot of interviews over Skype and so forth, as we usually have. And I see in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Ragenator says, if and when you need someone on the show to fill in, I'll volunteer. We're not really looking actually for like guest hosts right now, just more people that are designing games or gaming culture contributions, those types of things, to come on and talk to us about it, because it's always fun to hear about what's going on out there, besides just the AAA stuff. You know, obviously we're not going to have the devs of Final Fantasy 15 on this show, I'm sorry to say, but everybody kind of already knows about all that stuff, so we like to dig a little deeper and tell you about some games maybe you haven't heard about. So we'll have that to look forward to in the few months. MXC in chat says, what about Cat President? Still working on that, so I'm hoping we'll have something to announce when we come back for Loki's birthday on September 11th in 2 weeks. Show on your birthday. We have a lot of shows on big days this year.
Yeah.
We have a show on 20 November.
Sadly, if we hadn't missed so many shows, 666 was originally going to be on my birthday.
Well, it happens.
Which is perfect, but you know.
It happens. But we also, well, speaking of missing shows, we also will not be here. It's worth saying on October 2nd, we will not be here. That is the week of GamerX. So Dark Soccer and I will still be in San Jose and won't be able to make it back in time for the show. But we will be here the weekend of FanFest, because my flight gets back at noon. So I'll have time to roll in here and do a show that night. That'll be really exciting. So, all right, enough housekeeping talk. Let's get into some more news. Gosh darn it, Loki.
So let's talk more about PlayStation. And hey, we talked about that wonderful PlayStation Now and how they're going to charge you $20 a month for that. Well, guess what? You know, there's PlayStation Plus, and that's going up as well. So they're going to be raising the price of PlayStation Plus by $10 up to $60, and that's going to be starting in September on the 22nd. So if your subscription expires after that, you'll have to pay $60 to get it. And yeah. And apparently they say that the reason for that is it brings it up with the current market conditions. That doesn't make any fucking sense. It's just like, we want more money.
Inflation. We got to balance the checkbook. Well, but here's the thing is it's one of those, is it really a surprise? Did you not see it coming? Isn't that what Xbox Live charges? Is 60?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know they can charge it because it's what people are paying for the competition. And honestly, this is one of those things where nobody likes to hear about paying more money, but it makes sense.
It's like, also it's, $10 a year. That's like a lunch.
Yeah, it's really, it's not that bad. It's really, I mean, not that, you know, not that we're encouraging him to bump it up another 10 or whatever, but, you know, it's not the end of the world, especially considering you do get a pretty good value through Plus.
Yeah, I stopped doing my Live just because I don't actually use the Xbox really anymore. I was doing that just to get the free games off there, but I don't know. Maybe if I get an Xbox One someday. I just, right now, I'm holding off, I guess.
Yeah.
Crackdown's not out yet, and, you know.
It's fair.
Forza Horizon 3 does look pretty awesome.
It does look awesome.
But it's just like,
well,
you know.
But then at this point, I mean, for me, I already have an Xbox One, so this is a moot point, but, you know, for you, what about this whole Scorpio thing and the fact that you know something bigger and better is coming?
Well,
like, does it make you want to wait for that?
And on top of that, no, it doesn't want to make me want to wait for that, but on top of that, it's like, well, shit, I'm thinking about building a new PC anyways. I'll just get it on PC, you know?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
true.
You know, what's the point? So we'll see. I mean, I don't know about the whole Scorpio and the, you know, PlayStation Neos or whatever. It's just, I have to see what the point is of those.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Still worry about PlayStation.
What are you going to get there that you don't get with the cheaper
exactly.
model?
Exactly. And,
you know?
Like, I mean, I'm still worried about the PlayStation, you know, VR thing because I've got a, my gut feeling tells me that it ain't gonna run as good as you think it's gonna run. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's like, why have that powerful system that's gonna support VR, you know, better, but it's gonna be better. It's like,
I was looking at my Amazon like orders, like what I have, because I didn't want to pre-order the same thing twice, which I did. You might remember when I bought Super Mario Maker, I bought two copies on Amazon because I'm an idiot, right? But so I want to make sure I didn't do that for World of Warcraft because I went on Amazon to get World of Warcraft Legion because they match the Best Buy program, right, where you get like the discount if you're a Prime member. So I bought it on Amazon so I get the discount because I'm not even going to be here when the game comes out anyway because I'm on my way to Atlanta. So I don't need to be online the very first day. It'll be server issues galore anyway. So anyway, I was in my history making sure that I hadn't already pre-ordered it at some point. And I saw the PlayStation VR thing in there and I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. I plucked down a lot of money on this here. I'm about to pluck down a lot of money on this thing. And then I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, you did just buy a car. Maybe you should just cancel this. Is the VR thing going to be really all you hoped? But I didn't do
it. It's like, yeah, I mean,
I didn't do it. I'm still holding on to it, but I thought about it.
I'm thinking about it as well because it's just like, that's quite expensive. It's like $400. And what exactly are you getting for that $400? I mean, some gimmicky games that they're going to have out for it. I mean, it's just not a whole lot of like really big, you know, experiences. Rez is cool, but is it $500 cool? I mean,
well,
you can just, well, hey, you can play it without VR though.
Yeah,
so,
true.
I mean, I don't know.
You know what? I'm going to keep it obviously because once I get rid of it, I probably won't be able to get it back. But I also feel like Sony kind of has a chance because we know they're going to be doing something in the next few weeks. You know, obviously a lot of these things are leaking out, and we'll get into some other stuff in a minute. And then they're expected to talk about whatever this Neo thing is, or PS4K or whatever. So I feel like Sony has a chance to get me hyped about VR again and really make me understand, yes, I'm going to be fine even if I don't have a Neo. And here's the type of awesome things that you just aren't going to be able to live without that aren't just Rez.
Yeah. The other thing, though, that they also announced recently that's been it's already live now, is a two-factor authentication. So, hey, if you have a PlayStation account, might want to turn that on. You know, it's a good idea, especially with all those FIFA hacks and shit out there.
Yeah, I know some people that are getting hacked, and it's ugly. It is
so
ugly.
I switched mine on as soon as I heard about it, and yeah.
Yeah. Two-factor authentication is awesome. I'm surprised it took them this long to get it. Microsoft has one. I don't remember if it's through the Xbox One, though. I know I have one on my Microsoft account, so I guess that does apply to my Xbox One.
I have to double-check my Steam account to see if it still I think it does. I thought I had it through the app.
Usually, yeah, usually with a lot of these two-factor auths, like kind of once you sign in once, you don't get challenged on it a lot. That's kind of what happens with Steam. Like as long as you're still on the same computer, same account, it doesn't really ask you for it every single time. But once in a while, it'll come up and say, load the app and grant
the request. I just get usually pretty frequently emails saying, someone's trying to log into your account.
Do you really?
But they're trying to, but it sends the email. You know, they have to do the email confirmation thing. Mm. And so they can't get in, but, you know, they're trying.
I get that all the time on Facebook. Someone keeps trying to get into my Facebook. And luckily, Facebook has an option where you can say, this isn't me. Like, a lot of the sites are just like, ignore this email, you know, or whatever. But Facebook actually has a thing you can click where it's, this isn't me. And I'm hoping it kind of reports the IP or something as somebody who's trying to fish into accounts. So, because screw you. It's my Facebook, not yours. Stay out.
It's like, why would you want to be in my Facebook? It's boring.
Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SSG100 Matt says, if you have something that is two-factor authentication, use it. Bobby Blackwolf says, I get lots of people trying to steal my gamer tag through social engineering. They send me the confirmation code. Yeah, so two-factor auth is so important. Like, if you're not using it on your email, oh my God, get signed up with it on your email because your email is, like, tied to so much other stuff. So important. You know what I mean? So, and definitely, you know what you know what I think doesn't have two-factor auth, though, that's kind of concerning is my bank. But I use like a completely different login and password for my bank than anything else. Like it's totally unique.
Yeah, my bank still does. They have the two-factor as well. Do they? Which doesn't make any sense, too. It's like, you know, when I'm on my mobile app as well, I'm like, this is a little stupid. I'm on a mobile app on my phone and you're sending a message to my phone.
Right, right.
It's like,
well, somebody could be running it in an emulator or something, you know.
Well, it's just like, I mean, come on.
Yeah. All right, let's move on with some other news, talking about a big release that people are looking forward to on Sony, as well as Microsoft. Sorry, I have to respond to this comment in chat. Fifth Dream in chat says, oh, Rob Roberts' bank account is insecure. Free money, guys. Yeah, what's the old saying? You can't get blood out of a turnip. You might get in there and be surprised to find there's nothing there. If you want to get in there and put money in it, that would be great. But I don't think you're going to find much to dig out. Anyway, a game that I think a lot of people are looking forward to, no matter if it's Sony or Microsoft, Final Fantasy 15. You know, Final Fantasy 15 has been in development for, what, 10 years and now 2 more months, right? Well, DLC is something that's going to be happening with Final Fantasy 15, and I'm a little bit concerned how that's going to play out because there's a season pass that they're selling that's going to have DLC, and there's going to be 6 add-ons that are covered by the pass. But then apparently there's going to be more DLC that is not covered by the pass. Apparently in an interview with Famitsu, director Hajime Tabata actually was talking about DLC and mentioned that there are DLCs planned out that go beyond just these 6, and there's possibly going to be VR content as well, something that's not even just the Prompto demo that was shown at E3, cooking recipes and costumes. And now I'm starting to worry a little bit, like, how much fucking DLC is going to be in this game?
Too much fucking DLC.
I'm starting to worry. I'm like, is the base experience of this game going to justify the high price of the game? I mean, it's a Final Fantasy game, so that expectation is sort of there. But the more and more I hear about this stuff, I worry. Now, granted, Final Fantasy X-2 also had DLC. And it was okay, you know, like the way they did it in that game, it was handled fine. So I'm like, okay, I guess if it's not too crazy outside of what they did not 10-2, 13-2. There's too many sequels to numbered games. If the DLC is handled similar to the way it was in 13-2, then it probably won't be so bad. But I don't know, I worry about all this stuff. Like, okay, we have to sell a season pass and there's going to be more DLC beyond that. Costumes and recipes and all this other stuff. I'm like, how much nickel and diming are they trying to stink and do in this game? I'm a little concerned. What about you guys in chat over at live.vognetwork.com? SSG100 Matt says, do they let you preload the DLC before it goes live? I have no idea. Fifth Dream says, I don't trust season passes anymore. I don't blame you, honestly. Everybody handles it so differently. And Fifth Dream points out Mortal Kombat Season 2. And yeah, there was, you know, Mortal Kombat was another one of those games that had a season pass, but then there were characters beyond that, right? So it's just like, or outside of that whole thing, right? So I don't blame you. So Act Deft encourages wait for a sale on the season pass.
Or wait for the Game of the Year edition when it comes out in 2017.
Right? I don't know if I can do that for Final Fantasy 15.
Or don't play it.
That's certainly a fair response as well. But, you know, Final Fantasy 15, it's a mainline Final Fantasy game. I can't think of one of those I haven't played. I'm pretty hyped about it. And I've enjoyed the demos that I've played enough. So, but I'm just, you know.
I think all I played, like, I skipped 12. I played some 13 when I borrowed it from you and uh-huh. nothing else of it because it just wasn't interesting.
12 is really good, though. The HD remix will be definitely worth checking out when that comes out.
I have, like, the collector's edition that came with the book and the tin and the nice initial game. I might sell it.
It's Balthier and Fran. It'll change your life. Telling you.
I'll just go back and play 5.
They're awesome.
5 is the best.
Really? 5?
I like out of 5. All? Actually, my favorite is 3.
I like the battle. Oh, 3 is one of my least favorites.
The Japanese 3.
No, I know. Yeah. It's one of my least. Well, I would never say that about the
US 3. Because it had the big job system in it.
Yeah, I know.
Which and I really thought was, it was a big innovator.
I liked the battling in 5, but I felt the story was really weak compared to, you know, but it does have the tough task of being sandwiched between 4 and 6, which are like the two best stories in the entire series. So it's hard to live up to that, but I don't know.
I will say that, I mean, story-wise, I'd put 6 as being the top for a story. Although the story in 5 was really good. That and, you know, playing fun fan translations where his name was Butts.
Yeah. I remember that was like the first big ROM translation that was out there. It was such a big deal when that happened.
Although I will go out on a limb and say that Seiken Densetsu 3 was still better than just about any of the Final Fantasy games. Mm-hmm. To be honest.
To this day, still nothing official with that.
Nope.
To this day. Anyway. All right, so that's what DLC in Final Fantasy 15. I just it'll be interesting to see what happens when this game comes out in a couple months. I'm dying to see these reviews when they start coming out. I hope it's good. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, we do have some more Final Fantasy news. In the wake of all of the Final Fantasy 15 announcements, and World of Final Fantasy, there is a new Dissidia Final Fantasy that's going to be coming out. It's going to be not like the other Dissidia games where it was a fighting game. It will be called Dissidia Final Fantasy Opera Omnia, and it is a JRPG-style game. It's done by Team Ninja, actually. So I looked at it. It looks pretty neat. I mean, for mobile, it's not bad. It will be out in Japan later this year. Nothing about any type of international release, but you know it's going to happen. So there's a trailer out for it. I would say look for it. It's interesting. It has that whole sort of, look that the Final Fantasy, 3 mobile had. So I don't know. Remains to be seen. But then again, there's not much, you know, that you can do wrong with, you know, anything made by Team Ninja. So.
Except maybe Metroid Other Z. Other M.
That doesn't exist in my universe, so I haven't acknowledged it.
I throw unnecessary shade at that game. Actually, I think it's better than most people give it credit for.
Unnecessary?
I think that game is better than most people give it credit for, but it wasn't Super Metroid. That's the problem.
There is a Moogle in Vivi and Cloud, and that makes me happy. And what's his face with the tail? Oh my god, Ishtola's in it.
They probably just bring the best out of all the. It's probably the same characters that show up in theater them.
Well, I just was actually kind of surprised to see Final Fantasy 14 characters in there.
Oh yeah. So Ishtola, I think, is really big overseas too.
Yeah, she's a cutie.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Loki.
So, one of the rumored announcements that was supposed to be coming out in just like a week or so here on September 7th was this PlayStation Slim. And apparently someone has one already. They bought it off of an auction site called Gumtree. And apparently they've posted lots of pictures online. And Eurogamer's even had someone come out to the location and verify that it is authentic. So it is. It's apparently, it looks much slimmer than the original PlayStation 4. It's all matte black with that kind of textured finish on it. They have a couple USB ports in the front there. It looks like instead of having the touch buttons on there, they actually have a physical reset and power button, which is kind of nice. And yeah, so I guess we'll learn some more about this in the next week here, but it's kind of bad for Sony that how did that get to an auction site? How did that leak out? I mean, that's pretty bad. So, I don't know.
That is very bad that something they haven't even announced somehow already exists in a physical form and got sold. My thought is they must be pulling the old Sega trick.
And they're right here.
And they're out
today
type of thing, which actually I think Microsoft also did. Not that well, they did, like, it's out the day after tomorrow or something type of thing.
Yeah,
right?
That was with the Xbox 360. Yeah.
So I have a feeling Sony is about to drop that one where here it is and it's out today. So that's how these things already exist off the assembly line and so forth, which in a way props to them for keeping it a secret this long in that regard. But yeah, that's really not good that one somehow already got in the wild in spite of all that. It's crazy.
I'd be curious to see what the other differences are aside from just it's smaller matte black now. I mean, it doesn't, I don't know. I like the light bar in mine. I'm hoping that it still has that because I don't really see that on here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think they said, if I remember correctly, I think when they had it like posted at NeoGAF that someone said that there was like a power button, like light on there that kind of changes color like the light bar does.
Yeah.
But the light bar looks so much cooler than that. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no, the light bar in the controller, I'm very curious to see, like, what... Well, you know, the light on the back of the controller, you know, it changes color to go with the mood in different games. You know, developers can kind of change that. But you don't ever really see that unless your hands are kind of, you know, like, can you see the reflection? So I can see why maybe they want to put it a little more front
and
center where you can see
it. Now that you say that, I thought I saw a picture of the controller and it looked different, like, that you could see those lights. But maybe I'm thinking something else. I don't know. But, yeah, I want to say that there was something else different. Yeah, and they have a picture with the original PlayStation 4, and it's quite slimmer. I mean, it's got kind of rounded edges on it, you know, versus, like, the sharp edges that they have. Yeah, definitely not as kind of sexy-looking as the other PlayStation. It's kind of neat, though. On the back, though, they've got, like, the, you know, PlayStation button symbols on there is kind of raising it up a little bit in the PlayStation logo. And then they've kind of, as far as ports on the back, it looks like they've just got the an HDMI, Ethernet, and what I assume is the camera. Although someone I think said it was the VR thing, but I think it's the camera. It looks like the camera port. And then just, you know, the normal power cord spot and everything. But yeah, they posted a picture of the box. They posted a picture of everything that was in the box. I mean, and someone saw it, so I don't know. It's authentic.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, you know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, it's the real deal. It's coming, but we'll just see how Sony puts a spin on it and what curious thing they'll say about the fact that it leaked so early, if nothing else. Let's see. Now, Bobby Blackwell says a dude posted the picture of the NX controller too, then admitted he faked it. But this whole thing, didn't they have like a YouTube motion unboxing?
Well,
like,
they had, yeah, he had an unboxing. He had the actual thing being played and everything.
It's really
elaborate. They had, I think, a guy from Eurogamer or Digital Foundry come and look at it. And so, they confirmed it's legit.
So if it's a hoax, it's really the best one ever pulled. We'll put it that way. It's the best one ever if it is indeed a hoax. Props. But it probably is not a hoax. It's looking very likely. All right. Now, let's see if this ends up being a hoax or not, although I could see that this is probably a real thing. Duke Nukem 3D, rumored to be getting a remake, remaster type of thing, which I kind of feel like it's already been... I mean, I know there hasn't been like a true HD remaster, but I do feel like Duke Nukem 3D has come back up with the Steam port that added the multiplayer inside Steam, right?
They had one of the 3D models. I don't remember what that was, if that was a mod or if that was an actual version of Duke Nukem 3D that they've had. They've had one of the 3D models before.
Yeah.
Maybe this is... No, I don't remember which version that is.
Well, apparently a teaser site for a Duke Nukem-related announcement came up, and this was as a part of DukeNukem.com, and of course, it's a countdown, so you know an announcement of an announcement. There is a banner that says, Happieth 20th Anniversary, because of course the original Duke Nukem 3D was in 1996, so it is the 20th anniversary, so likely going to be a re-release or remake. Somebody on Reddit, so, you know, big grain of salt with this, but I'll go ahead and say that it's apparently knows that the game is called Duke Nukem 3D World Tour. It's part remaster, part remix. But, you know, again,
they found that was out in the webpage. They found that actually within the code on the webpage. So I like Duke Nukem.
As long as the first level's the same with the movie theater and everything, that's the level everybody remembers. Anything can be pretty much different after that. Most people probably wouldn't even recognize that it's different levels, like a remix or whatever. There was so many like fan maps. I think I still have a CD somewhere.
Oh, I had multiple CDs of those maps.
Yeah, that's like the Duke Nukem game and like just bunches and bunches of... Wasn't there like Duke Nukem at the White House?
Oh yeah, they had tons of like mods that like made it onto disc that they sold, and it was just like
for sure.
So the announcement looks like was it almost 5 days away? So that would make it what day?
Just in time for Penny Arcade Expo.
Yeah, that seems appropriate.
Yeah, so which makes a lot of sense, right? Because you know, even though we've been talking a lot about Dragon Con on this show. You know, obviously, there's a lot of people that are interested in Penny Arcade Expo, which is happening in Seattle same time. So that would line up perfectly with it, especially if they do happen to have this game at the event there. So,
and really, you know, when you have all those like blunders of different developers having strippers and stuff at their parties, this is really the only game that's appropriate for that. It was part of the game.
It was part of the game. It was part of the ambience. All right. Anyway,
strippers and pickups.
Let's go to something completely different with Dark Soccer, and I mean different.
Well, sometimes you need to just sit back and look at the mundanity of life to just realize that all of your struggles were really not worth it in the end. And so that's where this game
comes
in.
Are you saying, Darsakra? And in the end, it doesn't even matter.
You know, I call that the R-Type song because of it's like playing R-Type. In the end, it doesn't really matter. So there is a game, the ultimate of boredom, called Onuiji. It is a Flash browser game. And it's... really just not really a whole lot of much other than Luigi wandering around, smoking a cigarette, realizing that it's all gone horribly wrong. So basically, he's just depressed. He lights up a cigarette and walks around the Mushroom Kingdom, just giving these really sad observations and realizing that he's too old to change his ways. And I'm going to read this quote here. This is great. I looked down at Bowser's broken body and saw in it a map of a broken world. And then you press another button and you get, it all tastes of mushroom, of fungus, of molder, of damp ash. It's just ennui. Ennuiji.
Sounds so fucking hipster.
I know, it's great. It's got a lot of text. It's a lot of reading because apparently a very bored Luigi has a lot of observations about the fucked up Mushroom Kingdom.
This piece is called Onuiji.
I like the picture here. I asked her, why do you stay with him? She laughed. The kind of laugh so empty it's less funny than a sob.
Wow. All right. Let's moving on. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of some games that are real and coming to a store shelf or a digital shelf near you. Loki.
All right. So this week we have Armello coming out on Xbox One, Assault Suit Lanos on PC, Attack on Titan on PC, PlayStation 4, Woo! PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita, and Xbox One, Champions of Antiria on PC, Hatsune Miku Project Diva X on PlayStation 4 and Vita, God Eater Resurrection on PC, God Eater 2 Rage Burst on PC, PlayStation 4 and Vita, One Way Trip on PlayStation 4, Resident Evil 4, I'm assuming the remaster on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Strike Vector EX on PlayStation 4. The Final Station on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. The Turing Test on PC and Xbox One. Vernon on PS4 and Xbox One. World of Warcraft Legion on PC and Mac. Shiny on PC and Xbox One. Tahiria, Echoes of the Astral Empire on PC, Mac, and Linux. Earthlock Festival of Magic on PC, Mac, and Xbox One. Luminous Puzzle and Music on iOS and Android. And finally, One Piece Burning Blood on PC.
That was a busy week.
It's just a lot of small stuff.
Yeah, but still, there's a lot of stuff coming up. But then again, Labor Day. I feel like the week of Labor Day is always kind of like a little big week. You know, it's a mini big week. It's not going to be Black Friday big, but it's, you know, big. Anyway.
Yeah, actually, the releases for the week after, it's not much.
Yeah, it starts, well, because that's when all the kids are back in school at that point. I mean, like, I know kids are starting school around now, end of August, but Labor Day is like the end. Like,
they have, it's on, like, for example, the week after next, Just Sing, which is that new Ubisoft singing game, and The Tomorrow Children. Remember that weird-ass Russian PlayStation 4 game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's coming out.
Huh. All right, let's see. We've got The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Game of the Year Edition coming to Japan on September the 1st. That is on the PlayStation 4. So not quite as busy of a week in Japan, because that's really the biggest thing on PlayStation 4. Wii U, of course, is kind of... It's pretty dry right now in Japan as well as over here. But looking at the Nintendo 3DS to see what's out of there, also empty until the 15th of September. But they do still get releases on the Vita, and there's one this week. It's Bara ni Kaku Sarishi Verity comes out this week. It looks like a French Revolution anime type of thing. You've got, you know, the chick with the poofy hair and the fan, and guy with the...
What was the title again?
Oh, it's probably based on an anime that I'm not aware of.
The Rose of Versailles?
Oh, it could be. Yeah, that's based on the art. There's a lot of roses in it, and it looks
That is an anime actually based off of a real historical figure of a woman who would dress in men's clothes and duel people.
Huh. Well, I would think that this is probably some type of port of, or like an adventure game based on that. There's no description for this or anything available, so I have no idea what's all in it, if it's a visual novel or what it is. But
hey, Versailles is a pretty neat series.
Yeah, listen, I like the art style. It's very cool, but a little bit slower in Japan this week comparative to what Loki just had. But of course, Labor Day isn't an issue over there. So, Darksakura.
It is pretty slow in the UK, though. On the 26th, we have Attack on Titan, and we have King of Fighters 14 on PlayStation 4. Wait, it's already the 28th. Why am I doing the 26th? Okay. On the 30th, we have Armello for Xbox One and the Turing Test for PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. On the 31st, we have Run Gun Jump Gun on Mac and PC. That's pretty much it. I already looked at September and nope. That's it.
All right. Just a few more stories for you guys, then we'll get to the classic game of the week, Loki.
All right, it's that time of the episode where we have to talk about NX rumors, because there's always NX rumors, and let's get into it, I guess. So this is coming from Emily Rogers, who has kind of supplied some more of the NX rumors before on Twitter. So kind of just going over some of the stuff. So, for example, it's basically saying that there's some truth to the NX having detachable controllers and supporting force feedback and motion controls. The NX prototype had a 6.2-inch 720p multi-touch touchscreen, and unknown if the final product size will be larger or smaller than the prototype. And then it says the prototype for the dock station has USB ports. I heard two USB ports, but I don't know if this number will change in the final product. And that is all the information that you have this week. Speculate away. We still don't know what the fucking this thing is yet. And I think it's stupid at this point. You know, it's like... So the one reason I've heard before that Nintendo doesn't want to announce it early because they're afraid that someone's going to copy. But honestly, they're going to copy it anyways if they wanted to. And I mean, it's going to take a lot longer than 6 months to develop a console. I think at this point, it's like, you got to announce it so that at least people know what the hell it is to get excited about it. Because right now, it's like, I don't know what the hell this is, and I'm not excited about it.
Well, maybe you'll be able to get excited very soon because, again, the rumor's building that this is going to be announced in September. This comes from the deputy news editor at Eurogamer, who's answering some questions on Twitter. But again, what's Eurogamer going to know about this officially? I mean, I suppose they could have been invited to something that's under embargo, but that would be about it, all I can think of. But anyway, it was asked about when the NX would be revealed, and he did. It was interesting. The phrasing used was, haven't heard it's changed from September, but I think info is now on tighter lockdown. So I think that's what people are reading into, is the fact that he said changed, like something has already been in stone or what have you. Also, expected to be that there's going to be a Nintendo Direct for fans at the same time that there is an event for the press that occurs. And that really, honestly, it all lines up with the whole right before Tokyo Game Show theory that I threw out there months ago, and I'm sure that's what we're walking towards right now, so it's really just a matter of some type of official confirmation, which may be Penny Arcade Expo. If they want to do an announcement of an announcement, that's a great time to do it. So maybe we'll know something by Labor Day. To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, bike. Anyhow, let's travel back to when things were a little simpler. We're going to go back in time to when, you know what, if you wanted the latest and greatest and the rumors, you got them out of a magazine.
If you were lucky.
If you were lucky. If you could get your parents to buy it for you. It's a classic game of the week, and Dark Soccer is going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, pick up your copy of Game Pro and read about this new game.
Yeah.
Dark Soccer, what is the classic game of the week?
It's actually a game that was inspired by having watched another review of it. It's this guy who does like side by sides of different versions, and I felt this one had to be shared with everybody because it's so freaking awesome. Hellfire. Is that not a great name for a game? Hellfire.
It's a good name.
Anyway, it came out in 1989. It's by Toa Plan, which, do you know what else they did?
Mm-mm.
Zero Wing.
Oh, okay.
Same company. They also did Snow Brothers, for the record. It was published by Taito. The game came out in the arcade, and then it was ported to the Mega Drive / Genesis and the PC Engine CD system as Hellfire S. It actually has all kinds of interesting changes, by the way, for the PC Engine version, because they changed some of the story to where instead of having a character named Lancer, who was, you know, the main pilot, it's a female character named Kaoru. And it has, we're actually, this is the soundtrack for it right here. It was like many of this PC Engine CD games where it was all remixed, you know, CD audio music and really good. So the game is where there is great peace. Everything is nice and peaceful because yay, humanity, woohoo. And then this stuff called Black Nebula appears and then tries to take over the latest galaxy that humanity has colonized, and it's being led by this force called Supermech, who's a robot dictator. And this is actually, Dan and I now have a new in-joke because of this game. It's Space Egypt. In this game, there is a level that is fucking Space Egypt. So, anyway.
So, is that like Stargate?
Yeah, it's like, no. Well, I didn't make that idea, but yeah, I guess it would kind of be like you go by pyramids and shit in space, and you know, people with pharaoh masks in space.
I guess if you can have Moe heads and, you know, Gradius and that's
space. So maybe we should leave Space Egypt to Toa Plan and Easter Island to Konami.
Yep.
Okay. At any rate, in the arcade and Mega Drive version, Lancer gets back to Earth and everything is great, but Kaoru in the PC Engine version blows herself up to save the Earth. Anyway, the game itself is, well, I'll put it this way, the arcade one is really freaking hard, but the cool thing about this one is that you start off being able to choose your weapons. You've got multi-directional weapons, so you can get a front fire, a back fire, top or bottom, And then you can get a diagonal fire. This seems a little weaker because you don't have like three concentrated beams, or it's just one coming out each direction. But it does give you a chance to hit different targets, you know, that you might not otherwise. You also get speed boost, you get bombs, you get power-ups. But now there are some changes for, and that's just in the arcade game. So for the Mega Drive game, as you're going through this, you also get this little thing that will, like an option almost, that will go around and absorb energy from your enemies and blow them up. And I think like a certain degree of homing to the missiles, the bombs. It also introduced some parallax scrolling for the backgrounds and gave it a much faster feel to it. It really did. I mean, the arcade version's pretty, but the Genesis one kind of blows it away in terms of graphical quality. The PC Engine one, though, was actually kind of a disappointment for its look. I mean, it had the great music and the usual, you know, cheese ball, you know, same style of, you know, late 80s, early 90s animation, you know, that was extra big eyes and extra big hair and, you know, but the soundtrack was really great, you know. It was actually also easier than the other two versions, just didn't have the same extra option, you know, the little homing weapons and the little guy following you around like the Mega Drive version. But it's probably the easiest of the three. And that is Hellfire. I mean, it actually was Mega Tech Magazine actually gave this game number 4 in their top Mega Drive games of all time.
Hmm.
And the music was composed by Uemura Tatsuya. So,
yeah, the soundtrack's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So the one thing I don't like is just how big the ship is on the screen. I mean, it's fucking massive. So the arcade version is really freaking hard. But the thing that was surprising is how easy the PC Engine version is, because usually when shooters come to the PC Engine, they get harder. So, but it's a good game.
All right.
Hellfire. You can find it, get it.
All right. There it is, your classic game of the week, Hellfire. For PC Engine, TurboGrafx-16, whatever you prefer. And a game, admittedly, I did not know much about. But it sounds very cool, and there's a gameplay video as well. I was looking at before; it looks pretty neat.
Well, I've actually done other Toaplan games. I think I've done Zeroing before.
I think you did Zeroing. Yeah,
I've done Tatsujin, which was Truxton, and I don't think I've done Snow Brothers yet. But I still want a copy of Batsugun because it's just a neat game. So.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here in studio, but when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio, your calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype, also your emails and the FUs of the week, and much more when we come back after this break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, right in the middle of our 656th episode for this August the 28th of 2016, our show already in progress before we have a little break here for Labor Day and Dragon Con, and many of you guys, I'm sure, doing Penny Arcade Expo out there. It's a big weekend for conventions. They're having one here locally, SAC Anime, that's a pretty big deal, and I haven't been in years since I'm always at Dragon Con these days, but I think didn't we do a panel at SAC Anime once, like years ago in the early days of OLR? I feel like, was it SAC
Anime? Yes, it was at SAC Anime, and it was at like 8 in the morning.
It was like 8 in the morning, and I think we had one person show up, but we did the damn show anyway. We had a great time. I think we were like a last minute ad or something anyway, so the promotion was really, really bad. So Dark Tetsuya says, I know you guys did one at Fanime. Yeah, we did a couple at Fanime. It's been a few years, but yeah, we had done panels at Fanime. I should mention, even though we, you know, here at OLR, we only have the Parsec Award appearance at Dragon Con. We will have a panel at GamerX4. Dark Sakura, myself, and Captain Spike from GameBuoy.org are going to be doing a live show. We're doing a super show, which we're still trying to plan out. We'll probably be adding to who is on that as well. But for right now, it's the three of us and probably some other friends and fun guests, too. We did a lot of panels previously that were about like how to podcast and why to podcast. So we thought this year we would just podcast, and that would be fun. Do an actual show. So that'll be happening live at GamerX. So look forward to that. Meanwhile, we're going to get back into some news, some rapid fire news, some quick news stories here. Loki.
All right. So this is kind of cool. I remember seeing like a little video about it when they launched their Kickstarter, but Adult Swim Games is going to be helping Toe Jam and Earl, the brand new Toe Jam and Earl game, come back. Was it Back in the Groove would be the subtitle on that. And yeah, looks pretty good so far, actually. I don't know when it's releasing or what platforms yet. They said PC and consoles, but next year sometime is when they'll be releasing. But that's cool that they'll be actually published at some point. I know that Adult Swim's been really kind of getting into gaming lately, so I will have to look forward to that, I guess. And then we've got a couple free-to-play games being shut down by Ubisoft. And this includes Ghost Recon Phantoms and the Mighty Quest for Epic Loot. Those are both closing down later this year. Looks like the Mighty Quest for Epic Loot will close on October 25th, followed by Ghost Recon Phantoms on December 1st.
Who is playing those games?
I don't know.
Apparently not enough people, or they wouldn't be shutting them down, right?
Right.
Well, sorry to the fans of those games, but apparently there were not a lot of people playing them, and so Ubisoft didn't feel like paying the bill anymore. Going back just a little bit to the Toe Jam and Earl thing, SSG100 Matt in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com going, Adult Swim Games has really gotten big. It does seem like they've been doing more and more, and I think what this Toe Jam and Earl thing is probably going to have a presence at Penny Arcade Expo, right? Which I think
maybe
is part of the reason why
that'd be pretty cool.
They announced it now. Well, for those of you guys that have seen this on Netflix, it was really just only a matter of time before something like this happened. And, of course, I'm talking about Stranger Things on Netflix, which is great, of course. We raved about that a few episodes ago. Well, apparently a group called Infamous Games, which they say that they like to do old-school adventure games, they have built a non-authorized, but it's a playable fan tribute to the series. The version that they've put out there, it's not complete, but they're just kind of looking at like one of the show's scenes in that classic 80s adventure game style. Actually, this looks a little more, it doesn't really look 80s to me, because where computing was in the mid 80s couldn't have produced these types of graphics. This is more like that, like Lucas Games early 90s Loom type of look to it, is what this reminds me of. But it's still a great throwback, and I hope they don't get cease and desisted by Netflix, so they probably will. But I would like to see them be able to put out this full vision there. Anyway, in the scene, you get to help Hopper, who's one of the main characters of the game, the sheriff, and the deputies look for a clue to why someone has disappeared in the woods. And then you find the clue, and that ends the game. It's a very short, playable scene, but why not? Why not? So yeah, check that out. In between generating all those graphics on the Stranger Things generator, because that's all I saw on Twitter this week, was people generating their own words and phrases in the Stranger Things font. Moving on to a game that I keep forgetting is coming out this fall, and I don't know why, because I'm really excited about this game, and that is Civilization VI. There's a collector's edition, because of course there is, announced for Civilization VI this week. It will come with an art book, some commemorative coins, some DLC, because that's where Civilization is now, and all the bonus content that comes with the digital deluxe edition. $90 if you want all that. But coins? Did I say coins? Pre-order DLC will be exclusive for 90 days. That's something interesting with Civilization VI. But I'm assuming after those 90 days, they want to open it up so that people can buy it. Because, of course, they want people to buy it. But Civilization VI, it's going to be awesome. Dark Sakura.
Well, here are some other stuff. There is a few new titles coming out to the Virtual Console. Yay! Echo, echo, echo. So, among those, Super Mario 64 DS... that will be coming to the Wii U Virtual Console, and then also three Street Fighter titles: Super Street Fighter Alpha 2, Street Fighter Alpha 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Fighting, and Street Fighter 2 The New Challengers will be released on August 25th. And then, kind of video gamey, but kind of not. It's a good idea to pay attention to ergonomics when you are at your computer. And now there is a very cute way to do that with an Eevee plushie that comes with a pillow that its little paws can attach to.
and you can sit with it on your lap, which helps you maintain your posture while still resting your wrists in a comfortable place in front of your keyboard, because you're supposed to have your hands resting higher than the keyboard a little bit to relieve pressure on your wrists. And so now you have a super adorable way to do it. Yay, Eevee.
And Pokemon's all the rage right now, you know?
Oh, yeah. I also like that all their marketing there is still Pocket Monster. It's just
that is
great.
The old school name. Absolutely. Yep. All right. We're going to get back into the long form news. And, of course, coming up in a little bit here, the mailbag and the FUs of the week and your calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. But first, we have some more news stories for you with Loki.
So I'm sure you've heard that a lot of people aren't too happy with No Man's Sky and how a lot of the things that are promised aren't coming through, or, you know, a lot of the things that should be functioning in the game aren't necessarily functioning as well as they were supposed to. So there's been a lot of people looking to get their money back, getting some refunds. And thankfully, there's been some research into this, and apparently multiple services are offering refunds for your purchases of No Man's Sky, including Steam, Amazon, and PlayStation Network. Steam even going so far as to allow you to do a refund even if you played longer, if you've you know, had it or you just played under 2 hours and, you know, within 2 weeks. But I guess I want to say that I thought that they were bending that rule for this and allowing you to do it anyways, but you might want to check into that. And of course, you know, Amazon's, they said they're looking at case-by-case basis for those, and then Sony kind of the same thing. They'll refund any purchase within 14 days of the purchase. I guess I'm not surprised that people are asking for refunds for that stuff. I mean, I still would like give it some time just to see. It sounds like that they are working on patching the game and getting things up to, you know, where they should be. I just kind of wish that that was there at launch. I mean, honestly, since they gave themselves extra time and the what you basically see how many corners were cut for it, it's just kind of disappointing.
Well, and it seems like they it seems like they fixed a lot of those PC issues within a few days too. You know what I mean? Like the PC version with all the graphic issues people were complaining about and stuff, that seemed to get fixed relatively fast.
They've done several updates. It's like 1.07 now on PlayStation 4. So, I mean, they're working on fixing some of that stuff. And I think a lot of the PC issues have been fixed. I've seen like there's already been quite a few mods coming out for it. So, you know what? The developer doesn't fix, the modding community will. So, I don't know. That's kind of interesting. Be curious to see what mods that they have on there. I know the one I did see seemed to add a lot more of the plant life, made the planets look a little bit more lush, I guess. So, yeah. I wish they had modding support on the PlayStation 4 version. I kind of wish they had modding support on the PlayStation 4 version of Fallout 4 as well, but, you know, we can't all have everything, I guess.
All right. Well, it's probably just a matter of time before mods.
Oh, it's just that complicated PlayStation 4 and PlayStation's, you know, network requirements and stuff.
True.
And just, I don't know. I don't really know what the excuse is, but I'm disappointed that we still don't have that yet.
Yeah. All right, well, moving on to talk about Pokemon Go, which, you know, is still a lot of people are talking about, but there's a lot of buzz out there. In fact, I saw this like trending on Facebook or something this week. A lot of buzz out there that Pokemon Go is in decline. And of course, it's interesting how people really want to just like rally around like, oh, look, this game is flopping already. But that's not really what's happening, you guys. Pokemon Go peaked in popularity at some point in mid-July, but based on data collected by Sensor Tower, SurveyMonkey, Apptopia, you know, they have to use these third-party sites to measure this stuff because, you know, they don't really put anything official out there. It looks like that the worldwide daily active users has dropped from about 40 million to 30 million. That's still 30 million people playing this game. Show me any other mobile game that's at that level right now. So I think Pokemon Go is still doing very, very well. But of course, you know, some people are complaining about, oh, the radar's got the issues, and I understand Ant's got to fix a bunch of that stuff. But the reality is, it wasn't going to last forever.
I'm surprised they haven't switched up the switched up the farms yet. Remember they were had.
I thought I heard they did again last week.
Did they?
That the nest changed again? Yeah. I heard they changed again because, where people were finding, I think, Poliwhirls, they were now finding, it changed to something else, and it was something kind of rare-ish. I don't remember. But, some of the nests has changed, so you wanted to look that up. That was, in the middle of the week last week. So, but I think this is very natural. I mean, it's like MMOs. An expansion comes out, big up, and then it'll slowly tick off, and then I'm sure when the second gen of Pokemon comes out, it'll go back up, or when the radar thing gets, which I saw when I was in San Francisco, when I went to Pokemon Worlds with Shane, we got to see, because, when you're in San Francisco, you get the new radar, and it looked really cool, and I don't know why they haven't rolled that out worldwide yet, but I imagine that's going to be any day now. That's going to come out everywhere, and I think that'll get some people interested in the game again who were getting a little frustrated with the way the radar thing played out. So I think this game is far from dead. When you got another game, whether it be Candy Crush or Words with Friends or Draw Something or whatever, that gets back up to this level, you let me know. So, all right. But I'll say, as much as I might be defending Pokemon Go here and the fact that people are, excited, it seems, on Facebook to see it decline in popularity, I myself have really scaled back in how much I've been playing the game. But that's just, because I've just been, when I go out to play a game, I usually end up playing Ingress just because that's the game I've always kind of been into. So I think that's more why my Pokemon Go stuff has been declining. And I'm still waiting to really see, what the point of the team and the gym control thing becomes, because there's no real way to measure up in the community and so forth like there is in Ingress. I don't know. I feel my progress more in Ingress than I do in a game like Pokemon Go. So, whatever. All right, well, let's move on. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Happiness. So much happiness. Because the game, inspired by a preview, named after a 1990s Gin Blossom song, is back. Allison Road is back. So basically, they had canceled everything. They said we weren't going to do it. And now the creator, Christian Kessler, says it's back. He has a new company that he made with his wife called Far From Home, and considered that cancellation moment a setback. And now they are back and working on it. He said he started making a few necessary changes to the story and the flow, and it came back to life. So they're working on it. No details yet. But they're still working on it. So, yay.
Hooray.
Yes. Yes. Yes, God.
Well, the fact that it's kind of been up and down and up, it gives me some reservations. But I look forward to when they put an actual teaser out there or something. I look forward to what they're going to deliver.
I just liked the excuse to use gin blossoms in the background.
You were very excited about that.
Other people had to have caught that was a thing, right? Whatever.
Right.
I feel extra old. I'm going to go drink my Geritol now.
All right. Go watch some Matlock reruns while we go to a story from... Actually, but you know what? I was going to say go watch some Murder, She Wrote, but yeah. You can do that at any... Angela Lansbury is timeless, mm-hmm. Okay? Let's just
Matlock wasn't a bad show. My grandmother watched Matlock a lot.
It was kind of boring.
I would end up watching Matlock with my grandmother while I did stuff.
All right.
You know, it wasn't that bad.
All right, let's move on, Logie.
All right, so this is kind of interesting, but one of the co-creators of Rick and Morty has teamed up with some former executive from Epic, and they're making VR games. So it's a new company called Squanchtendo, which sounds just kind of like a a Nintendo thing. But
now that's a vegetable I'd eat. Squash tendo?
No, that's squash. Squanch.
Oh, squanch. I thought you said squash. I was like, oh, I could do. Actually, squash is pretty good to begin with. But anyway. All right. Wow. When jokes go horrifically wrong on the next OLR.
Yeah. So they're going to be making VR games. And they had a funny little comic to announce it as well. So.
You know what VR game they should make is that courtroom scene from Georgia, the short that they did for, what did they do of that, for Comic-Con or something like that? Have you seen that YouTube of the Rick and Morty that they do the voices for the court scene of the guy who's just like going crazy that's like, you know, just he says all these like really obscene things about like, you know, just why don't you shut up and blow me or something. You know, he's just like talking back to the judge and the judge like starts talking back to him. It's like, it's hilarious, but it's in the Rick and Morty voices.
It was like, and because of this, no, fuck you. If you continue to fuck you, it was that one, right?
Kind of, but it was a lot more obscene than that. It was really, really
like,
funny.
Why don't you go fuck yourself and other things like that, right? I remembered reading the thing like back in
yes,
the day.
Yes. Actually, I can do a little clip here. I don't know. But again, this is like a 9.5 minute thing, so I don't know. But here's what I'm talking about.
Yourself.
Okay, I'm going to tell you how this is going to work. You either listen or not. I don't care.
I'm through. Can I leave the courtroom?
No.
No, you've got to stay here.
No, I'm not talking to the bastard.
We are going to have the trial Monday week.
No, the f*** we are. I ain't going to trial with this lawyer present.
Listen, if you do not...
Suck my d***. You stinking ass cracker.
If you act like this, I will send you out of the courtroom.
Old bitch ass cracker.
And leave you out of the courtroom during the trial.
Horse ass cracker.
Do you understand
Horse
that?
Horse ass sucking ass.
Do you understand
big
that?
Butt
Do you understand
man
that?
Man ass cracker.
I could just let that play all day. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
So that's the VR game I want.
Well, one of the VR games that they're working on right now is the Rick and Morty it was the Morty Simulator Virtual Reality. So that is one of the ones that they're working on right now.
Okay. Oh, maybe I will get that after all. It'd be great. I'd play Phoenix Wright if it was that. All right. Well, one game I know I'm going to be playing because I am like super excited about this series, even though the last few times it was on mobile, it was kind of garbage, but I'm willing to give it another go. And that is Luminous. That's right. Luminous is coming back with a new version. It's another mobile edition. It's going to be, as I think Loki mentioned during release dates, it is out on Android and iOS on September 1st for $3, $2.99, but it's $3. It's going to have some classic tracks and some new tracks. You will be able to play in portrait mode on your phones, which is the, you
Yay.
Know, that's the way that it looked on an HD TV, so that should be fine. I'm
you mean
very
landscape?
Is that what I mean? No, why does it say a portrait style setup? You're right. That would be landscape, not portrait.
Maybe some people like to play in portrait.
That would be weird, though. Portrait is like a way you play Meteos or something. But yeah, I can't imagine it won't be. Like, why would you suddenly want to play in portrait mode? You're not going to be able to see as much. Maybe they're just talking about when they use that word, they're talking about the artistic style or something like that. That's a little weird. But anyway, well, I guess we'll find out when the game is out because we don't really have screenshots or anything.
Well, good. I need a new game to play.
Yeah, since you banished one from your phone. But
like
I don't remind you, the last Luminous game that was out was kind of earlier in the iPhone. It was around the time of like the iPhone 4 or something. It was garbage. So hopefully this one's gotten the controls down better.
I should download that Space Invaders game that they had before. What was the other one that was like on rails? Like a music
Oh, the Groove
game?
Coaster?
Groove Coaster, yeah.
Yeah, that's an arcade cabinet at Round 1, which by the way, ready for the tangent train? Choo-choo! Round 1 opened up in Concord this week.
Cool.
So now
not
you
quite
have,
in Sacramento yet, but
yeah, you don't. Well, but you don't have to go all the way to San Jose. Now, I wasn't able to go because I was super busy this weekend with Rocky Horror last night and everything. Shane went, and he wasn't able to be on tonight's show because he has some of this stuff going on. But Shane spoke very favorably of the new Round 1. He said there's not as many music games, but there's still a lot, and there's less people playing them, I guess, because it's Concord. So I guess he got to get more games in. And he said they had the Luigi's Mansion arcade machine was there.
That's cool.
Which they don't have in San Jose. So just an interesting little side tangent Maybe, you know, they went in San Jose. Now they're in Concord. Maybe the next logical place to keep moving this direction would be here in Sacramento, right? Why not put that out in, I don't know, people will love that in like Roseville or Folsom or, I don't know, West Sac. What else is growing around here? Elk Grove?
Put in the Palladio because there's like nothing there.
Yeah, maybe. That'd be awesome.
Or, I don't know, Sunrise Mall. Just the whole mall. Just tear the rest
of the mall. Tear them all down.
It's all the arcade.
Poor Sunrise. All right. Anyway, I don't know how we went from Luminous to round one, but we did. There you go. Let's get to the emails. Every week you guys send us emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to participate with our show. Dark Soccer is going to dive into the emails and find some emails to read for you tonight. Again, that's participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email.
There's two. Two whole emails.
All right, let's do it.
Hello, Alar.
Hi.
Just a couple of thoughts on last week's episode. I don't know if Shane is listening, but Time Crisis 5 is a phenomenal game when the guns are calibrated properly. So if he sees it again in a location where they care enough to calibrate it properly, I hope he'll give it another try.
Maybe they had that in Concord. I didn't ask. I didn't ask about Time Crisis.
Alternatively, many recent gun games have some sort of user calibration. Look on the machine to see if it mentions it. Also mentioned was the Mario and Sonic at the Rio Olympics arcade game. I actually did play this at my local Dave & Buster's a couple of months back when I discovered that some kid left like 7 credits on it. You get to play one mini game per credit, choosing from things like archery, hurdles, swimming, or your classic 100-meter dash. Basically, it controls like the old world-class track meet on your power pad, except that there's an infrared sensor watching your feet instead of physical buttons, or that there are two joystick levers, one on each side, that are used for things like jumping or the rhythmic gymnastics event, which is absolutely not part of the real Olympics. The other cool thing about this game is that just like Mario Kart Arcade or even good old Daytona USA, there are several cabinets and you will compete against whoever else is playing at that time. Of course, you can intentionally not join someone else's game and just play by yourself, but there's no difference except you'll be up against AI. The game was fun, even if it was over pretty quickly. You play one event and that's it. The menu screens and post-game award ceremony definitely take longer than the actual game. But it was fun while it lasted. Worth a look if you're in a place that has it and you don't mind being a bit sore the next day. And this one's for me, Jamie. Good luck with the crappy shift. Hang in there. Until next time, Aaron, YYR.
Always good to hear from YYR.
You know, I will go ahead and just say this. I am actually changing from a worse shift to the one I'm getting. So
it's just that the worse shift allows you to do this show at least.
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't be in any shape to do the show anyway.
Yeah. No, I understand. Yeah.
So it's between my health and doing the show, to be perfectly honest.
Well, I had not played that Mario and Sonic Rio Olympic game, so that was cool to hear a little bit about it. So I'll have to check it out at some point. The one thing I'm hearing about this whole round one thing in the new one, Shane was telling me that the round one in Concord is not with the rest of the network, so my card won't work there, which seems a little bit ridiculous. But I don't think I had a lot of money left on my San Jose card anyway, so I guess it's not that big a deal. And I'm sure I have a ton of friends in San Jose. I'm sure I'll be back there at some point anyway. But, you know.
Let's just go to Mel's Garage.
Well, apparently there's a DDR machine there now with memory card slots.
Yeah.
They've got their own, they're opening up a mini arcade. The last time.
Don't they have like a one car garage?
And it's starting to fill with arcade games. They own the Para, should I be talking about this on air? I guess they wouldn't care. Mm-hmm. They own the Para Para machine that used to be Arcade Infinities back in the day. So that is still there. And they moved stuff onto a flash drive, so it runs a lot smoother with that machine. And then there is a Dance Maniacs, and that's the last time I played Dance
there
Maniacs.
There was the Solo, and now there's is it the Extreme? Or
it's Extreme that they bought. Yeah. I think their Solo wasn't really working anyway. No. And at one point, they kind of just unplugged the arcade part of it, and they were just using the dance pad with like a PlayStation 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know what the story is behind that. We'll have to get them back on the show at some point to ask. I know there's an Extreme machine in there now. They just picked that up. And the Extreme machine came from this area. Apparently, there was some place over at Sunrise and 50 and all those warehouses over there. I think it was the Bouncy, you know, the Bouncy Trampoline place?
Mm.
I think it came from there. I think that's who sold it.
All right.
Yeah, crazy, cool. Right?
Yeah. Well, last email.
Yes. And by the way, sorry, Dark Tetsuya says, I wonder if he upgraded the Dance Mini X with that new version. As far as I know, the version they have has some type of, it's the appended.
It was the J Paradise.
It is the J Paradise.
Korean edition.
Yeah. It's whatever has like the most songs. But I have heard there's like an even newer one that has like a ton of stuff. I don't think they've tried that yet. Mm. As far as I know.
Email time.
Yes.
Hey, OLR. I just wanted to share a gaming experience I had last night. I was over my boyfriend's house, and he decided to turn on his Steam Link to show me some of his games that he has. As he was going through his Steam library, I noticed he had Peggle. Now, before yesterday, I only heard of Peggle from you guys, so I asked him to show me the game without knowing what to expect. At first, it kind of reminded me of the Miitomo Drop game, and the music was very classic-sounding and catchy, but nothing could prepare me for the fever thing that happens at the end of every level. It is so over the top with all of these colors and rainbows, and it tops off with blasting Ode to Joy. Peggle was the most unexpected gaming experience I ever had. I encourage anyone who never played it before to go and download it right now and play it. So I was wondering, did you guys ever have an unexpected gaming experience? If so, what game was it?
Ooh, good question. One
of your longtime listeners, Zeba. For the record, you should see what happens if you fully clear the level. You get like ultra hyper fever, and then sometimes you'll get, if you manage to ace the score, then you'll get like ribbons and everything for it too.
I love this story too, because it's not like Peggle's. I mean, Peggle's kind of an older game at this point, right? Like,
but it's super fun.
But it's awesome that somebody's discovering that for the first time, right? It's like finding that old TV show that you've just found on Netflix. Like, I don't know. Like, a lot of people now are finding Twin Peaks, let's say, which is like, that's a show I loved from the 90s, even if it got really weird in the second season. But like the fact that it's coming back and everything, you know? But like, people are discovering that for the first time now. And I just love this story that like, oh, somebody's discovering that first time. So that's great. Can you read the question part of that again? Because the question that she had.
So I was wondering, did you guys ever have an unexpected gaming experience? If so, what game was it? I know that actually another PopCap game, Bejeweled, was kind of fun for me because of that stupid butterfly mode.
Mm-hmm.
I am addicted to butterfly mode, and I scream every time that damn jewel spider eats my butterflies. It's just like the craziest thing.
Well, as cheesy of an answer as this might be, it's the honest to God first thing that comes to my mind, DDR.
Yeah.
I mean, that game literally changed my life.
Derby Owners Club. Seriously, did you expect to like that fucking game?
That's a good answer. If you guys don't know what Derby Owners Club is, gigantic. They probably still have it at some Dave and Buster's. They've got
to
still have it.
Horse betting and horse racing.
Yeah, it's a horse racing game. And you actually breed a horse who's on these little magnetic cards that you use, and then you have my binder. Race. Oh, it's oh, I
don't
great.
Have binders of women. I have binders of horses.
I love it.
What about you, Loki?
But DDR is my choice. Yeah. Honestly, who knew that Stomping Arrows would be here all these years later? You know, as much shit as we give Konami now, and rightfully so. Let's be real. None of the people who had anything to do with DDR successes are even there anymore. Maybe a few, but none of the big names. The show wouldn't exist if it wasn't for that arcade community at that time, and it really stinks that we don't have that. Well, I don't know, but Round One's bringing some of that back. Some of these other experiences, you know, maybe it will come back. I shouldn't say we're never going to have it again, but
I remember giving you Third Mix all the way back in the day, and you had the Mickey Mouse pads.
It was not the Mickey Mouse pads. It was the Jungle Book.
That
PlayStation
was the Jungle Book ones,
which was a dumb fuck game.
But the pad worked.
But the pad was great. It had a dance pad, and you could use it with DDR. And that was the first. I never realized, you know, I was a dirty casual at the time. I only had a PlayStation. I never realized you could put a little plug in the back of your PlayStation and play Japanese games. So somebody brought over.
I brought mine over.
Yeah, you brought yours over,
and burns.
I think the crazy guy I used to live with had the burned copy of the Third Mix and brought it over, and we played that like all night. It was so much fun. And I lived upstairs, and I think I got so many complaints. But I didn't care.
We used to have all those Bimani parties back in the day.
Yeah, for real. It was fun.
What about you,
Logie? Yeah, what about you,
Logie? Probably just DDR. I don't know.
Copycat.
What?
Just kidding. I'm kidding. Did you expect Grand Theft Auto? Did you expect Grand Theft Auto you would love as much as you did?
Of course. I seriously need to go back and play 5. I may do that because now that one of the things I forgot to mention during my game week was, you know, recently my laptop, it was being stupid and I had to reinstall Windows several times. Well, prior to reinstalling Windows several times, my PlayStation, the second screen, or what do they call that, where you can play the PlayStation on like your Vita or your PC, wasn't working. But now it does. And so I'm like, yes, I don't have to watch this stupid Grey's Anatomy shit. I can play No Man's Sky, which is better, but it's not much. But I need to go back and play, you know, Grand Theft Auto, because I've watched a lot of, like, people playing the new update that they have with all the stunt ramps and everything.
Yeah.
And it looks seriously crazy. Like, there's some fun racing going on there, so I need to go back and play that.
All right, well, I do want to mention just the chat room is lighting up with responses to the question that was posed to us.
Very good email, Ziba.
Yeah, a very good email and very good answers here. SHA100, Matt, this isn't a game, but I think it's a good answer still. I showed my girlfriend The Goonies last night. She had never seen it before, and she was an 80s kid also. She, of course, loved it. So talk about discovering something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ragenator reminding us, doesn't matter how old a game is, a good game is a good game, and a bad game is a bad game, no matter what. Some other answers in chat. Akuma JP says, Zone of the Enders for me. I never thought it was going to be that good. Bobby Blackwolf saying, recently I tried Pokemon P-Cross. I had never played a P-Cross game before. I have now bought P-Cross E1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I'm looking for P-Cross DS every time I go to a place that sells used DS games. That's a great answer. VidPower says, the arcade game Prop Cycle surprised me with how fun it is. Oh man, that game is legendary. You got to look that up. If you don't know what Prop Cycle is, Google it or look up a picture of the machine. It was the silliest game, and you get in this big fat bicycle, and you're riding it. It was amazing.
There's another game that came out in 95 that I'm probably going to make a classic game sometime, but it was Psychic Force.
Mm.
Did you ever play Psychic Force?
I don't think so.
It was sort of like an in-space 3D fighting game. Like multi-plane fighting game. It was kind of a weird one. It was one of those Taito games, but yeah.
Just a couple more quick answers, and then we'll move on. ActDef says, Portal blew me away. It still kind of does. JD says, Rhythm Tengoku on Game Boy Advance surprised me with how adorable it was. SSG100 Matt says, Undertale surprised the fuck out of me. So there you go. Lots of great answers. Great question. That's it for emails, though, right? Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email for the future. For now, though, it's time for us to get a little bit angsty.
I guess a few to not having my weekends anymore, because I do a lot of stuff on the weekends. And a few to plantar fasciitis. I have developed it in my left heel, so I have to go shoe shopping. That's it.
All right. Loki.
I guess just a few to just work stuff, just trying to get into a different department other than where I'm at. And I'm rocking it, but they just aren't hiring, so they're like, yeah, we want you, we really do, but you know, so it's really hard.
My FU of the week goes to my voice, because I threw it out again last night because I was hosting Rocky Horror, although the crowd was phenomenal and it was a different setup. It was outside. It was really fun. Great crowd. I had a great time. And yeah, so just F you to the fact that I threw my voice out, even if it does make it a little bit sexy bassier. I wish I could hang on to the voice without some of the pain. might work out better for radio. Although I have to face that my voice will never be like Captain Spike's from Gameboy.org. It's never going to be. All right, just a couple more stories for you guys, and then we'll get to our Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio. But first, Logie.
All right, so it's been a few weeks since we talked about the ZeniMax lawsuit, but they've appended their complaint, and now they are straight up basically accusing John Carmack of, you know, stealing patent stuff, you know, basically stealing information. Basically, they're also now naming Facebook as well with the amended charges, and basically saying that the key source of conflict is misappropriated ZeniMax property. Specifically, the it spells out, like, they're saying the theft of alleged id software technology and stuff developed, you know, from John Carmack. Basically saying, instead of complying with his contract during his last days at ZeniMax, he copied thousands of documents from a computer at ZeniMax to a USB storage device. He never returned those files or all copies of them after his employment with ZeniMax was terminated. In addition, after Carmack's employment with ZeniMax was terminated, he returned to ZeniMax premises to take a customized tool for developing VR technology belonging to ZeniMax that itself is a part of ZeniMax VR technology. So basically saying he stole the information, or I don't know. I guess we'll have to see it play out. I mean, I don't know. I see what they're trying to paint the picture that he came in and stole these documents, but I kind of wonder if, like, a lot of it is just stuff that he was working on. But then again, you know, if he's employed at that company, then it's their property. So it's hard to say. You can't really, you know, who's his thoughts or, you know, whose property. I mean, it's kind of confusing. But that's thankfully for a courtroom to decide, not me. Because I would probably just say, fuck you, ZeniMax.
Not any of you on Twitter.
Fuck you, ZeniMax. Where's my fucking Fallout 4, you know, where's my mod support on PlayStation 4? Oh, it's not fucking done yet? Well, then you're fucking done. That's how my courtroom works.
It'll be like that court scene we just played from Rick and Morty.
How about fuck you? How fuck you? Fuck you. Yes, fuck you.
All right, let's talk about the Super Nintendo, because it celebrated a birthday this past week. That's right, the Super Nintendo Entertainment System arrived in North America on August 23rd, 1991. So the Super Nintendo turned 25 this past week, which means, guess what, everybody? You're old.
Didn't Valve have an anniversary or something this week? I thought they were like 20 or 25.
Yeah, probably like the 10th anniversary of them not announcing Half-Life 3.
Yeah, I think it's 20, yeah. but in Valve time, though, that's like an eternity.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyhow, maybe you didn't know this, but Super Nintendo never did outsell the original NES. But of course, some of the best games, at least if you talk to, you know, gamers of a certain age, like our age, many would agree that the best games came out on Super Nintendo. Games like Super Mario World, A Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, Super Metroid.
Can you imagine when that SNES mini comes out finally?
Right. And Chrono Trigger. It was some of the great, great games of Super Nintendo. Yeah, Mario Kart started on Super Nintendo. Star Fox, Donkey Kong Country. I mean, Super Nintendo was just the system. Will there ever be a better video game?
And just
system?
Think when, you know, they do end up coming out with an SNES mini and for whatever reason they omit Chrono Trigger, then that's just more fuel to go, I'm sorry, if it was one of the best games ever, it would have clearly been on that system.
Well, the third party thing is going to throw a monkey wrench into that, because that, you know, whereas Super Metroid was a first party game, Chrono Trigger was not.
It's so, Square Enix. They put Final Fantasy in there. So.
They did, yeah. So anything, yeah.
So, I mean, I would hope that that's in there. Yeah,
anything is possible. But
Final Fantasy 2 and 3.
Final Fantasy 2 and 3, or 4 and 6, will probably be in there first, much to the angerment of Chrono Trigger fans everywhere. But I hope the mini SNES is a real thing. That'd be awesome.
I hope it.
I would
love
to get.
There's no way that this mini NES is not going to do well, so, you know.
Yeah, I would love to get, like, one of the, like, old school controllers, just like they have one coming out for, you know, the NES, and, like, make that a USB thing. That'd be awesome.
They do have USB SNES style controllers.
Any SNES style or actual SNES?
They may as well be.
Are they that good?
The body is exactly the same. I mean, the insides really aren't as great, but it feels like one in your hand.
Okay.
Officially supported virtual console and PC wouldn't be bad. Nintendo, if you want to make some bank.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says the mini SNES will only have Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. Hey, at least you'll get the great music. If I'm challenged, like, say something nice about Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. It had great music. There you go. I'll give you that. All right, we are going to open up the Skype line. How about right now? Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you want to give us a call and talk about anything we've talked about tonight or perhaps something else that we didn't bring up while we wait for a call to come in. Loki, I don't know if you have any last-minute stories.
No, I don't. But I was checking out what the nest turned into over here, and it turned into an Eakin's nest, or which is like... It's a common Pokemon already. Yeah. It's like, eh.
It's not very good.
So... But the buzz is that Cameron Park Lake, though, is pretty nice to go up there for
really?
Pokemon. So I may have to head up there.
Is that where the Dratinis all went?
No, that's where a lot of Magikarp and Psyducks and what else do they have? They actually have Dratinis up there, too.
Nice.
So that might be worth it.
Might be worth it because they don't spawn in Anatolia
Psyducks.
Anymore. People from the Bay Area were going out to Anatolia to farm Dratinis. Like, it was just nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually, it'll come back, I'm sure.
All right. Well, let's get to the phones. We have a call coming in. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Raginator.
Hey, Raginator. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, just before you opened up the phone lines, you were bringing up the 25th anniversary of the Super Nintendo being released in the U.S. That being said, well, I'm not sure if Dark Zachary had one back then. I almost tempted to say she had a Genesis back then.
Well, let's ask. There's one way to find out, Raginator. Did you have a Super Nintendo Dark Soccer when it first came out? Or were you only at Genesis' house? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, in fact, we had to choose, and my mom asked me specifically, what gaming system do we need in the house? And I said, I want a Super Nintendo because Link to the Past is on it. And that's how it went, and we had a Super Scope as well.
I guess I was mistaken. I must be remembering.
No, it's an easy mistake to make because she is such a Sega fangirl. It is a very easy mistake to make. But yeah, so she had the Super Nintendo, and how appropriate that she had the bazooka for the Super Nintendo as well.
Well, that all this leads to my question. Which I'll open up to you three and anyone in chat that wants to answer. Do you remember, off the top of your heads, when you got the Super Nintendo, why you got it, and what games did you at least bare minimum initially got with the system?
Sure, I'll go first. I think I've told this story on the show, but it's worth telling again, and I'll abbreviate it a little bit. I got it for Christmas, I think the year after it was out, so I don't think I had it the very first year. No, maybe I did get it the first year. I think I did actually get it the first year in 1991. I'm trying to think how old would I be. Yeah, I was in junior high. So, yeah, that adds up. So, yeah, I think I got it for Christmas that year. But my parents did that really cool trick where it was not actually under the tree at all. And so I opened all the other gifts, and there was no Super Nintendo. So you're kind of trying to do that thing where it's like I'm trying not to be an ungrateful little shit because I didn't get what I wanted. But I'm still kind of like, God damn it, that's the one thing I wanted, blah, 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 you know, but you're trying to hide it and suck it up best you can. But then, of course, after everything is done, then I think my sister came out and was like, oh, there's one more thing, and it was this little tiny card, and the card opened up, and it said, go look here, and then you go look in, I don't know, it was a closet or something, you go look in the closet, and it's like, go look here. You had to go look, so it was one of those stupid scavenger hunts where you went around the whole house, and then finally it ends up, I think it was under my mom's bed. Big box, and I knew what it was. It was Super Nintendo, and I was excited. You know, happy tears from a dumb junior high kid. But here's the hilarious thing. I got the Super Nintendo, and I got Super Mario World was packed in with it, obviously. Everybody got that game. But then my parents had no idea what other game to get, so they bought a game called Draken, which was, I guess, an early title on the Super Nintendo. And they didn't know what to get. They asked the guy at, and I want to say it was Montgomery Ward. I feel like was where they said they got it. They asked the guy, what game should we get? Because they didn't know what to get. And the guy said, well, this one's selling well. Or something like that. I don't know. It turns out this game, it's like, nobody, like I would tell my friends that I had this game. Nobody knew what the fuck this game was. Draken was a real, like, and it's what, Drakken, something like
that?
Yeah,
that was actually a pretty decent game.
It was a PC title or something, I think, that they had ported over to Super Nintendo. And so when I first, I didn't play it much, obviously, because I was obsessed with Mario World, and then I got, I think, I think I picked up F-Zero pretty quickly after that, so I didn't really play a lot of Draken. It really wasn't until about 2 years later I went back and I kind of sat down and forced myself to play Draken, and I was like, I actually really like this game. It was weird. It was a role-playing game, but it was like you didn't control the battles at all. Like, you would kind of like walk around the screen, everything would auto-attack, but it was kind of cool because it was a first-person mode game, which for early Super Nintendo, you didn't see a lot of that. There was a sequel that came out after that called Dragon's View that's really fucking good. Like, that game was really good and is has that same kind of first person, but then it's mixed with, like, a side-scroller action thing, which they completely changed from the original Draken. So anyway, there's the tangent. That was my first how I got my Super Nintendo and what the first game was that I had with it. Loki, your family has Super Nintendo? Yeah?
Yeah, I bought it because I sold my I think I sold my Nintendo to get a Super Nintendo. And so I don't remember all the early games I got with it. I think Legend of Zelda was one of them. But I do remember one of the first games I had, because they didn't have Super Mario World, was Roadrunner's Death Valley Rally.
Awesome.
Which, actually, it's not a bad game. It's just, like, it's basically Roadrunner, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Isn't that, like, one of the few games they, like, can't emulate right?
Yeah, I think it is.
I think I heard about that, like, the boxes on stage 6 or something, they don't appear. It's, like, some really weird emulation trick. I was reading some article
about it. I did end up beating him, but, yeah, it's a pretty hard game. Because you end up going, like, to Mars, and there was Marvin the Martian and stuff. And
yeah, yeah.
It wasn't bad.
Well, first of all, my mom got it for my brothers, but forget them. It was mine. So we got Link to the Past. Of course, we got the package of Super Mario World and Home Alone. Because my brothers were super into Home Alone at the time.
That game was terrible.
It wasn't just terrible. It was terrible bad. It gave me virtual cancer. So,
Jamie.
Virtual, not real. I felt ill playing it. I'll put it that way. And then we also had the Super Scope, and I played a lot of Blastress. A lot of Blastress.
Of course you loved the bazooka.
Of course I did. But I probably beat A Link to the Past, like...
Oh, yeah, that game was so good.
So quickly. And then I played through it again. And my mom's like, now you need to let your brothers play. It's like, they can play
Fuck
when I'm
them.
In... It's like, they can play when I'm at school. They're in school, too. So, that's their problem.
Here's some answers from our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. JD says, my first Super Nintendo game was Donkey Kong Country. Akuma JP said, I got my Super Nintendo late because I had to work to get it. I got it with Street Fighter 2. SSJ100 Matt says, my parents made me save up my money to get a Super Nintendo. I had to roll pennies and do chores for my grandparents to get the money for it. I was 7 when this happened. It taught me the value of saving and importance of spending it wisely. I like that. Let's see. And, yeah, those are some comments. ActDef says, I can't remember what game I got with my Super Nintendo, aside Super Mario World, of course. Those are some answers from our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Ooh, this is another good answer. Dungeon Buster says, one of my first games was ActRaiser. Yes, the game was so good. Stayed up all night to play it. Thank goodness it was on a weekend, so no school the next day. Ooh, I love that game.
I remember renting that, and yes, I did stay up all night to play it.
I think we all did. The game was awesome. Well,
I had a lot of Mega Man X fun, too.
Raginator, what about you? Did you ever officially get to buy a Super Nintendo? What was your story behind
it? Yeah, in fact, a slight tangent that relates to the story. Back in the early 90s, my... one brother and I used to have paper routes together, and that's how we made a little extra money for ourselves. True. And we used to do those on the weekend, and pretty much every single cent that we made went into our respective bank accounts. All that being said, I didn't get the Super Nintendo right away back in 91. However, I kept seeing the commercials for it. I saw it mentioned on GamePro TV, and even the neighbor is across the street in the game one, and I saw it being played and all that. I thought, this is the most awesome system I've ever seen in my life. And considering that I had all this money in the bank saved up, I begged my parents to let me spend my own money to go buy a Super Nintendo. And as a second side, you know, they were a little hypocritical, spending money left and right that they didn't spend, didn't have, but, you know, they wouldn't let me spend my own money on something that I could afford. But eventually I did make them break down and let me buy Super Nintendo on my own. My father took me over to this little store that's local to my area at the time called Best Buy, not Best Buy, Brand Names. And I bought the Super Nintendo itself, which came with Super Mario World. And, you know, just for shits and giggles, my father bought two games that I recommended that I researched the crap out of, which was Super Castlevania 4 and ActRaiser. Because I thought that, you know, well, I knew Castlevania was a good series. I played the original on the Nintendo. I saw the gameplay on Game Pro TV. It looked good, especially the one stage with the rotating tunnel. And plus, you know, the soundtrack seemed amazing, and it was. You know, it really showed off the sound chip on the system.
Yeah.
Same with the ActRaiser. Great soundtrack. And we, you know, for a while, those three games lasted us a while. We played the crap out of them. And eventually, I ended up getting all the games like SimCity, SimEarth, you know, Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
You know, it's interesting because SimCity was really good on Super Nintendo because they added kind of the Nintendo-y elements to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they added like the Bowser replaced Godzilla and you get like a Mario statue and all the silly stuff. Yeah. But Sim Earth was really bad compared to the PC version.
Yeah, honestly, the only game that I bought over the years that I regretted buying was the original Mortal Kombat, because back then I was really into fighting games. And I thought, oh, Mortal Kombat, I know that was a great arcade game. I wanted it for home, bought the game. Oh my God, I regret that purchase virtually instantly.
I still loved it, but the whole sweat thing was really cheesy.
Yeah, but eventually, you know, obviously Nintendo learned their mistake from that game. They put the violence and the blood back into like Mortal Kombat 2 and whatnot. But and the later games were definitely better. But you know, great system. One of my favorite, two favorite games for the system, aside from ActRaiser and Castlevania 4, would be Killer Instinct with the Pac-Man soundtrack, which was the first soundtrack I ever got, and that got me started on collecting soundtracks. And, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, great game.
Wow, lots of good picks, lots of good reminiscing down memory lane for Super Nintendo. Raginator, I'm going to let you go so we can get some more calls, but thank you for the trip down memory lane tonight.
Sure, have a nice night.
Yep, take care of you too. A lot of positive feedback to Castlevania 4 in our chat room. By the way, Orange Lounge Radio, all in a word on Skype if you want to call in. I see a lot of positive feedback for the Castlevania 4. Dungeon Buster says, yay, I love the track that plays during the swinging chandelier stage. Oh, yeah, that stage was so awesome, too. Let's see. VidPower says, Super Nintendo Mortal Kombat had sweat and neutered fatalities. So sad. It was so interesting what they could have and what they couldn't have, because if I remember right, like, Sonya still had the kiss thing that would incinerate. Like, and that was okay. You could set somebody on fire, and that was okay. But what was it? Like Johnny Cage would just uppercut them. That's it. Because the head can't pop off like it did in the arcade game. And then what? They really changed Sub-Zero's, right? Sub-Zero was like would do the deep freeze and then shatter him into a million pieces. But again, no blood, so it was okay. But then didn't they, in one of the later Mortal Kombat games, like didn't they actually give him that fatality again as a throwback? But it was like way gorier.
I think so.
I think they did in one of the later. Either it was the Mortal Kombat 9 or one of the other ones. They kind of redid it. So, all right, one last call here for calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. You could also use the phone lines, do it old school, 1-877 game OLR if you want to do it that way. One other thing I was thinking of that wasn't in our show roll tonight, but it was occurred to me was a big news thing, because I guess maybe because I've been playing World of Warcraft or Battle.net related games. I don't know if you guys know, but Battle.net added into the launcher this week, and I knew it was coming because I think we talked about that the feature was coming on the show, but now you can stream to Facebook natively within the Battle.net app. So Facebook is starting to make their play for a piece of that Twitch TV, YouTube gaming, and that whole thing. But I got to admit,
no,
I'm not really like. Part of why I like Twitch and why I like, you know, YouTube gaming and stuff is more the discoverability there. But if I stream on Facebook, it's only going to be limited to my friends. There's not going to be as much discoverability there, you know, to like meet new people and stuff, which I mean, I guess it could be cool that I could stream games just for friends, like, you know, come see how bad I am at Overwatch, or watch, you know, I'm going to play some of my friends on Facebook at Overwatch, and here's what it looks like from my perspective, that whole thing. But I don't know, like, I'm not really interested in Facebook as a streaming platform. Plus, one reason why I think Twitch does so well with the streaming and everything is because it's on mobile, it's on PlayStation, it's on Xbox, it's everywhere. You know, there's a Twitch app almost everywhere. I guess, granted, though, Facebook, you know, they do have the mobile app, and you can watch things within that. So, you know, there is that. But I just don't know if I see that being as big of a thing. But it is built into the Battle.net thing, which is, you know, Blizzard's a pretty big company, and those are some heavy-hitting PC games. I mean, that means now you can stream directly, what, Diablo, World of Warcraft, StarCraft, Overwatch, all right there very, very, very easily. So, interesting. All right, well, oh, and Dark Tetsuya in chat says, oh, no wonder, a friend of mine was streaming Overwatch to her Facebook, so I guess that's what that was about, yeah. And Bobby Blackwolf says, can I stream Rock and Roll Racing? I don't think that's in the Battle.net launcher, sadly. At one point, they released, was it that or was it their other game from that era? Maybe it was, I don't, but they, it's not actually within the Battle.net launcher. It's just like a separate executable file you just play. So I think it does have to be built into the launcher. So I don't think you could actually stream old Warcraft. Or is, I don't know, is old Warcraft in the Battle.net launcher? Warcraft 3 might be, but I don't think Warcraft 1 and 2 are.
Unless you still have CDs.
Well, yeah, but the CDs are still going to be independent of the launcher, which has the broadcast software built into it.
Yeah. I was thinking of like Twitch.
I just thought maybe they were too old. Like, you know, some of those older games don't play well, even though they're on newer systems.
Sure. So. All right. Well, let's see. And Kaijudo says you can pretty much produce a show on just Twitch alone. Yeah, that's true. I mean, if we were to set up this show on Twitch, we probably would get exposed to new people. And that's something we may still think about doing in the future. But right now, you know, it's just, we're still Orange Lounge Radio for the time being. But yeah, you know, whole nother platform there. All right, well, nobody else is calling in, so I guess too many people watching those silly Video Music Awards on MTV.
My God, did you see what Beyonce did?
No, well, I've been doing this fucking show, Jamie.
Yeah, but you were looking at your phone.
How did you see it?
Because I'm on Facebook right now.
What did she do?
She brought out the Trayvon Martin's mother and the other two boys' mother on the red carpet with her and her daughter who has the tutu I always wanted as a kid.
Ah,
So bravo to her.
Yeah, I did. But did she do anything in her? Did she perform?
Yeah, she did,
right?
Lemonade.
Oh, okay.
And then all the queens except for Adore were all wearing other famous celebrity outfits.
Yeah, I saw that from
like
Drag Race.
Fifi,
right?
Did the meat dress.
Adore just posted. She was like in Manchester Pride yesterday. She's overseas right now.
Yeah.
So I guess it didn't work out. Anyway, interesting. Sia Tiberian chat says, when will we get the MTV Video Game Music Awards? And honestly, I'm inclined to agree with Act Deft. Hopefully never, because that's just not something I want MTV producing. You know, the one that Jeff Keighley did, which I don't even remember the name of it now. It's in December. It's just the Video Game Awards?
Game Awards.
Okay. The first year, the fact that it acknowledged Roberta Williams gave it big props in my book. And then, you know, it's getting to be, remember the whole like throwing shade at Konami live during the thing?
That was pretty cool.
Where he just like read the house down why Hideo Kojima couldn't be there. So like, I'm like, okay, this thing shows a lot of promise and I think it's going to age very well. So I'm willing to let that, you know, see what that looks like year three. I think a lot of us were very worried because he was also involved with the Spike TV thing, which is kind of what an MTV Video Game Music Awards or whatever the fuck would have looked like. But this new one he's doing is pretty good. So we'll see what happens year three. We will. All right. Well, that is going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. We will be back to do this all again in 2 weeks. Loki's birthday show on September 11th. How old are you this year?
36.
36. You're old.
I can't wait till you're 37.
In a row?
In a row.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll be back. Dark Sakura, we're going to be shaking things up a little bit. Dark Sakura will be here. She just won't be here live. So
I'll be here dead.
She'll be here to still grace us with the classic game of the week and ensure that Loki doesn't put Halo there in her absence.
I won't put Halo there.
Well, it still won't be there if I don't approve it.
But it doesn't
matter. You can say it, but it doesn't mean it'll happen.
It doesn't matter because Dark Sakura is going to still do that segment for us. So we'll have a few little cosmetic changes on the show.
Fine. I'll start my own classic game of the week with Hookers and Blackjack.
Was that a game, Hookers and Blackjack?
No, it's from Futurama. Better.
Well, that should be a game. Anyway, as we say here every week at Orange Lounge Radio, if you enjoyed hear what you heard on the show, please tell a friend or five about the show. Help us spread the word. A nice 5-star review wherever you found this show, like iTunes or Google Music or wherever, that goes an awful long way. So please consider that. I'd really appreciate it, as would we all here at Orange Lounge Radio. I hope to see many of you at Dragon Con this next week or at some of the other conventions coming up in the next few months. But until then, let's go around and get everybody's final thought for the night. Dark Sakura, we'll see you in a few months. Probably not that long. You might have some time off or something where you can still play with us at some point. But do you have a final thought for us tonight? Same. All right. my final thought tonight is you need to take those pineapple cake things with you because I don't want any more. You need to take the rest of those cookies that you brought here with you. Get them out of my house because I'm going on an emergency diet.
No, I'm leaving them.
And last but not least, Loki, your final thought.
I don't know. I guess I'll play more No Man's Sky. I mean,
might as well.
Might as well. I mean,
got nothing else to do.
Got to get to that center of the universe so that I can have no ending.
I'm hearing people are not happy about that. I'm trying to keep myself free of the spoilers and all that, but I'm hearing like people are like, it's the new Mass Effect 3. We'll see though.
Oh, I thought I already spoiled it. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't. If you did, I wasn't listening, and that's probably for the best. Okay. All right. Times when it was a good idea to not listen to Loki. All right, that's it. We're out of here. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Have a wonderful Labor Day and be safe. Goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.